Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.
It's the 14th of May 2021, and it's time for another Rapper and Dick's Friday Fix Cornish Soccer Podcast. So, let's bring in my co-host, come in, Rappo.
Afternoon, Deeks. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. You're sounding very chirpy.
Yeah, I've had a good 4 hours, I think, mate. Managed to drive straight home this morning. Didn't have to sleep in any lay-bys or anything, mate. Managed to get back to me bed, mate. I think I've had 4 hours. So, can I just say happy birthday to my sister, Deeks?
Oh, right.
57 today.
Hey, 47?
57, mate. Oh. She got 3 years on me, mate. I was the mummy's boy. I was. Thanks, mate. She were like that, mate.
One of our regular listeners, is she?
She is, mate. She is, yeah. She does enjoy... She said your laugh cracks her up, mate.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say something, actually, before you said that.
Sorry, mate.
No, I've forgotten what it is now, so let's carry on. I don't know what it was, but obviously couldn't it be very important.
Yeah, hopefully it come back to you,
oh,
mate.
Oh, I know what it was. I know. It's come back to me already. I was going to ask, when you're driving home from work and you should get a bit drowsy and so you want to pull into a lay-by, do you ever get a policeman knocking on your window at some stage or not?
I haven't actually. I'm expecting that, mate, one day. Touch wood, I haven't had one so far, because I have actually parked in a couple of those lay-bys, mate, that are known for the old evening entertainment.
Oh, right.
I think they call it dog indeeks, don't they?
I believe so. I wouldn't know, but I do believe.
No,
you're right,
I wouldn't,
there,
mate.
Yeah, that's right.
I often grandparents one of me ones, mate. You know, I start to feel a bit tired and pull in there. They got the nice overhanging trees, Deeks. You know, it's quite dark in there. Oh. You usually get a nice kip in the grandpound one. But I got me pit stop sticks, you know, depending on how tired I feel, mate.
Right.
I got like, right. Yeah, if I'm absolutely knackered, mate, it's still Truro City Football Club car park, mate. Truro. But don't know how much longer I'll be able to use that one.
That could get a bit busier when the retail park is there, couldn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to wake up in Lidl's car park, mate, do I?
No.
But usually Probus, Grandpound, mate, or the Mushroom Man, mate, on Sticker Bypass, you know, the old Mushroom Man, you know, does the old...
The wood
mushrooms, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've pulled in there a few times, mate, just to shut the eyes for half hour, Deeks, you know, usually, you know, that little cat nap, you know, sort of manages to work to get me home, mate, so...
Well, they used to reckon that, actually, if you had a 20-minute sort of cat nap, that would be quite sufficient.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with that. Deeks does work, mate. Works for me, mate. Works for me.
Right.
Can't be any good to you, I wouldn't have thought, can it? But
well,
they say night shifts take 10 years off your life, mate. So I guess I'll find out, mate, when I see.
That's why I thought you were 10 years older than your sister then.
Yeah, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Right.
I must admit, Deeks, I do feel 64 sometimes.
Nothing wrong with 64.
No, true, mate, true. If they make a song about it, mate, it's fine with me.
Right, okay, so let's crack on then. Let's get moving as usual, and,
it's time for Apo's Titbits.
Yeah, Deeks, got a few bits, mate. I saw this week, mate, that former Blazy joint manager Matt Hayden has taken the number one job, mate, at Callington. And, you know, as always, Deeks, once again, you're one step ahead of me, mate, because you got Matt on the show later, haven't you? So, but the old pre-season rumour mill, you know, had him at Weybridge as a coach, mate, which I think was true, you know, with Rower, wasn't it? And possibly in Gilby's dugout at Bodmin. But just like to say, best of luck to Matt at Cali, though, Deeks. You know, he's had some great interviews on this show over the 110 previous episodes we've done, mate. So before today. And Matt is still only 30 years old, Deeks.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Did you believe
that? I
know. Oh, actually, we mustn't dive on that until the interview. But yeah.
Yeah.
I would question that. The way he was out of shape going up that hill questions it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what management does to you, Deeks, isn't it? But But it got me thinking, mate, the Southwest Peninsula League West division that we all know and love, mate, we're all interested in, has got some pretty young managers, mate, hasn't it? I mean, before I start, mate, can I just say I'm not sure of everyone's age. And
you've been stalking them, have you, on all the social media outlets, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Steve. It might be a bit of lazy journalism here, mate, but no, I've got to apologise if I'm wrong, mate. To be honest, mate, the only real experienced managers, I don't know if you agree, Dick, so around the sort of 60 mark, mate, are obviously, you know, Reg at Camelford, mate, you know, Reg Amley with his remarkable 30 seasons at the helm, mate, there. I mean, you know, Reg is a real one-off football guy, isn't he, Dick? And Steve Massey, mate, you know, Mass has, you know, led that Helston revolution, mate, culminating in promotion to the Western League, mate. You know, Mass is up around there. You know, for next season. I mean, anyone who doubted Mass's 2020 project, mate, you know, his vision, 2020 vision, might have a bit of egg on their face, Dick. See, he was only a year out, mate, wasn't he? So,
yeah, but that, a year is a year, isn't it? He might as well be 40 years out. It wasn't 2020.
Well, it's through no fault of his own, though, mate, wasn't it? Yeah, I think we can let him off for a worldwide pandemic, mate, can't we? I suppose, but... Right. But some people will still want to blame Mass, though, wouldn't they? but it's well done for me anyway, mate. You know, I think Mass has achieved his goal, won't he? But there's a few in and around the 50 mark, Deeks. You know, Steve Flack at Sticker. You know, Flacky's a great coach as well. My old mate Clarkey at Godolphin, Paul Clark. Along with Martin Hodge, mate, at Liscor. You know, bloke you know well, mate. And there's loads in the 40s, mate, which for a manager is still pretty young, wouldn't you say, Dick? Still pretty young, mate, 40s for a manager? I mean...
Yes, it is, really, isn't it? You've forgotten another 50... you've forgotten one in the 50-age group, haven't you?
I'm coming to him now, mate. You're talking about Gilby.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, Gilby had it. He just sneaked into it, mate, didn't he? he's just sneaked into that 50 bracket because me and Dad's got the same birthday, mate, April the 28th, so I know... And I'm a few years older than him, mate. So I know Daz has just, Gilby's just sneaked into that 50 as well, mate, isn't he? But in the 40s, though, Deeks, you got, well, you know, all the Dobwalls management team who had such a great season, along with old mates Rower at Weybridge, Macca Nuki, mate, who's obviously stepped down a couple of months ago, mate, and you know, because of work commitments. And once again, mate, you're ahead of the game. You've got new Nuki boss Craig Ainsley on the show later as well, Dick, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
But with Blakey at Port, Jack Barbary at St Dennis, mate. Laughs, thankfully, back in the game at Blazy, mate. Reno at Penzance, a few old mates there, Dick. And there's even younger managers, mate, in their 30s doing very well as well, thank you, mate. You know, Westie at Falmouth, I mean, you know, he's turned my club, you know, Falmouth Town around, mate. I mean, you know, to no end's done a fantastic job along with Milchie and Charlie, mate. Ashy at Mousel, still only 37, mate, you know, after a glittering playing career, Ashy had, mate, top of the league when this season's COVID hit, weren't they, you know, and looking to join Saltash in the Western League next season, who also, you know, got a young gun at the helm in Dane, mate, you know, a friend of the show, mate. You know, so another young man, mate, and, you know, he's on a lot, Sparky at St Austell. Another friend of the show, Deeks, doing fantastic work there as well. And Jack Greenwood at Wendron, who's unfortunately just stepped down recently, but replaced by another young man, mate, Mike O'Neill. Mm-hmm. So, and Lunson, Deeks, possibly maybe the youngest of all in Dan Ort, mate, who can still play a bit, mate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the future of the league is in great young hands at the clubs, I think, Deeks. Even though... You know, it looks like we've lost Saltash, Helston and Mousel to Step 5 football. Hopefully we've still got some thriving clubs with young bosses and looking like Penryn's Harry Pope will be joining them as well next season, mate. You know, another, you know, highly rated, fresh-faced young manager with a great CV already. So, not to forget, you know, Macca at Millbrook and Dino at Tor Point, mate. Dino's still in charge at Tor Point, Deeks. Is Dino...
Why? What have you heard?
No, I haven't heard nothing. I didn't know if he was doing it joint or... you know, obviously Dad Ricky, mate, you know, is a legend, isn't he, for his managing skills in Cornish football, mate. You know, one of my big regrets, mate, not to have played for Ricky. He asked me a few times, but yeah, I'm sure Ricky's passing on his knowledge to Dean out to a point, you know, in the East Division. So they're all still very young men, mate. So no bus passes being handed out in this league for a few years, is there, mate? You know, I think we're in good hands, mate, for a few years yet, mate. I mean, with the young managers we got around the county.
Yeah.
And talking to Jake Ash, there's a nice full-page spread in this week's non-league paper. Did you see it, mate?
Sold out. I couldn't get one because Jake is in it.
No, I kept mine, mate. I'll get Ashley to sign that one. Ashley, Deeks, I don't know if you know, mate. The National League paper's got a circulation of about 25,000 copies a week sold on a Sunday morning, mate. So it's decent recognition, mate, isn't it?
Well, I find it very difficult to get down here. A couple Sundays ago, I wanted to get it. I can't remember why I did, but. There's something in particular I wanted to see in it, and I went around about six different shops, still couldn't get one.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know. I got about three places up here, Deeks, so I know that does it, like, you know, and they only order in about two or three copies.
Mm.
So, like, if you leave it sort of to Sunday night sometimes, you could be unlucky.
Mm.
But, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's not the sort of most... Where's Daniel Way, Dix? I've got it a couple of Daniel Way.
The obvious place would be the Tesco's and Morrison's, and I'm sure they used to have it in Morrison's petrol station, but that was one of the places I went. It wasn't there, so in the end, I gave up.
It's good paper, Dix, isn't it? It's a good, you know, since the sort of demise of the independent, Dix, you know. I sort of spend me £1.50 on a non-league paper on a Sunday now rather than £2 on the old independent, really, like, you know, unfortunately. But Ashley's article was on page 5, mate. It was headlined Jake's Playing Cat and Mouse. it basically went on to say that the Seagulls face a nervous wait to see if they secure a step 5 berth for the first time in their history. And they go on to say Ashley's no stranger to promotions, having achieved a remarkable 5 in his 11 seasons with Truro City. And a lot of them as skipper, no less, Deeks, wasn't it? You know, lifting the trophy as captain as well, wasn't it? For Jake. But Jake went on to say, mate, you know, professional the setup at Mousel is with GPS tracking, you know, on the players and a video analyst. And now the team trains twice a week, which is pretty unheard of, you know, at sort of step 6, mate, isn't it? But he said they are a bit geographically hamstrung with Trungle Park only being 10 miles from Land's End. And he said, when you put it like that, I suppose, and it's difficult attracting the best players down. Ashley sort of concluded with how he loves being in charge and has given him a massive buzz about football again. So good to hear, mate. But I don't know about you, Deeks, but I, for one, you know, think Alston, Salt Ash and Mousel are all sort of deserving of a promotion to step 5, mate. And would love to see it happen, mate, ready for next season, along with Millbrook's success story, Deeks, wouldn't you?
Well, if Rappo has said he would love to see it happen, I'm sure we can fix it for you.
Yeah, I'm a friend of the FA, Deeks, aren't I?
Well, you never know. You never know what you dream or what you want to come true may just happen.
Yeah, I was going to say I'll probably put the blockers on. Oh, sorry, Ashley. I'm not a big fan of the FA, but it was a St Piran League Cup competition group stages, Deeks, on Wednesday night. It was all concluded, mate, wasn't it, on Wednesday evening?
Mm-hmm.
With some exciting games, mate. I took in the winner-takes-all clash, Deeks, between St Austell and St Morgan, but I had to leave at half-time, well, after about 40 minutes, actually, Deeks, to do a lovely 12-hour night shift, mate. I enjoyed it, mate. I was St Austell, I thought, we had Dave Lee on last week, mate, didn't we? St Austell's reserve team manager, and he mentioned a few of his young players. And it was, I mean, when I left these, it was 2-0 to a young, vibrant own team, mate, you know. And I was really surprised when I had a text off Jack, mate, about 10 o'clock saying St Morgan won 4-3. I mean, I just didn't see that coming, mate, from the 40 minutes I watched. But I thought Snostall looked really good, mate. It looks like I missed an exciting second half, mate. But thanks to Snostall chairman, just Jason Powell, mate. Thanks to Paola for my first half press pass, mate, looking over the fence. he told me to say that, actually, mate. He said, tell Deitch you had a press pass, mate. But I saw the lad you mentioned, Deitch, a little while back, Leo Best, mate.
Oh,
he
yeah.
come on after half. Oh, yeah, right. I can see, you know, I only had 10 minutes watching him, mate, but I can see what you're saying, Deitch. He looks a talent, mate. And I've got to say, mate, I was really impressed with someone that Dave mentioned last week, mate, and that was Cameron Hutchinson.
Yeah, a couple of people have mentioned him to me as well. So,
yeah, honestly, Deitch, he looked like a young Steve McManaman, mate. You know, lovely on the ball.
Can't help that, can
you? Yeah, he was sort of playing like left wing, you know, off the left sort of side, floating in, and, you know, he drew a penalty, which he scored at. Well, he's quite lucky, actually, mate. Keeper got a good hand to it. But no, Deitch, you know, he looks like a young Steve McManaman. I mean, there's a couple there, mate, for your county youth, you know, trials next season, I think, Deitch. You know, definitely, mate. But really impressed with young Cameron there, mate. He sort of floats past players, Deitch. He's one of them players that just seems to leave three or four players in his wake, you know, and it doesn't actually look like he's moving particularly fast, but he just leaves three or four players for dead, like, so... Exciting talent there, mate. But back to the group stages. I mean, the quarterfinal stage kicks off on Saturday with a little bit of controversy, shall I say?
Not at all. I know what you're going to say. But carry on.
Yeah, I know. I know we're going to. Yeah, I mean, well, the winners of the groups are set to. They're set to be the away teams in the quarterfinals. Rather bizarre and weird, in my opinion, Deitch. You know, Bude dominating their group, having to make a 120 round trip to Lugan, who come runners up, and Hale, who did brilliantly in their group, mate, got to make a 125 mile round trip up to Launceston, who finished second in their group. So, a weird one for me, mate. But I think we might be going to disagree on this one. But what's your views on it, mate?
I can see where you're coming from, but what's the point of the clubs complaining about it now when no one did at the time? This format was included in the rules which were sent out to the clubs on the 20th of March. No one queried it.
If that's the case, Deitch, I'm surprised, mate, because, you know what, I've never seen a competition where the group winners get punished for finishing top, mate. I mean...
Well,
yeah,
punished is a bit strong word. You know, let's be fair. Is there that much difference playing at home rather than away?
I think there is. I know what you're saying, mate. I don't think there is at the top level, mate. You know, where there's no fans now and they're playing on snooker tables, mate. And, you know, I don't think it makes an awful lot of difference. You know, the pitches they're playing on, no fans in the stand. But I think at this level, Deitch, I think, for example, Penrhyn, mate, I'm sure they'd rather play it on Bakes Kernick Road carpet that he produces for them than go to play at St Morgan on Saturday. No disrespect to St Morgan, it's a club I really like, mate, but, you know, on top of the cliff, it's going to be a bit windy. The pitch is going to be a little bit bumpy, or like they all are at the minute, to be fair, because, I mean, St Austell looked a bit bumpy last night.
Would they rather play at St Austell's pitch?
What, Penrhyn, mate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I think they was hoping St Austell might win that one. I sort of was, dude, because it's a nice, because I'm working Friday night, so it was a nice little trip for me on Saturday, mate, to go and, you know, but obviously I'm going to lose an hour's kit now it's at St Morgan, mate. But I think it does make a difference, Deitch, personally, at this level.
Well, in that case, then, there's been 52... wins so far in the Superior League Mini Cup. Out of those 52, 30 were by the home side, 22 by the away side.
Yeah, I suppose there's not an awful lot of difference. Nah, not a lot, mate, is it? I suppose, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, mate. I suppose we'll have to agree to disagree on that one last week, mate. I suppose, mate, I just think, I don't remember any other, I mean, can I just say as well, Deeks, you know, I think Steve Carpenter is fantastic, mate, at what he does as well. You know, no way am I having a go or anything, mate. You know, it was nice of Steve to get the cup competition up and running for the clubs anyway, mate, wasn't it? You know, they could have no football. I mean, at least we've watched some cracking games lately, mate. You know, we've had some games to watch. So I just find it, I've never known a competition, though, that as the group winners, you know, sort of being, well, penalised, can I say, Deeks, not punished, I don't know, mate, for, because it'd be hard, like, to say, you know, at the beginning, if they did see that and think, oh, the runners-up are home, it'd be hard to sort of manipulate your group so that you finish second, wouldn't it, to be honest. But
yeah, with hindsight, what you're saying, though, with hindsight, yeah, it is strange, but, you know, and I agree with you entirely, but I'm just wondering why these clubs are now moaning about it, when actually someone should have picked it up at the time. Yeah, we're two months down the road now. So
that's right. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
They've got themselves to blame on this one.
Yeah, if it was there in black and white, Deeks, when the rules come out, then nobody can really say anything now, can they, really?
Yeah.
I guess. So, yeah. So I agree with you.
In fact, it's only been in the last couple of weeks that anyone at all has raised the point, I understand, with the league. So, you know, it's taken a long time for anyone to pick up on it. And it's like everything else. It's not until you're affected that you start moaning about it. So I say get on with it. If you're good enough, you're going to win, whether it's home away or Timbuktu.
Yeah, true, mate, yeah. If you're going to win a cup, you've got to beat the teams in front of you, home or away, haven't you, Dick?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Perhaps it's time to move on, mate, maybe. Time to I've got a lot of bitterness, mate, and I'm a lot of I totally agree with that.
Do you just dislike anything that's connected with the FA, do you, or what?
It does come across that way, Dick, doesn't it? As I've got older, mate, I have, I have taken a bit of a dislike to him, mate. But sorry, mate. Perhaps I'm just miserable, mate. Miserable, but yeah, the East League. It's sort of already done and dusted, mate. With a game to go. East 2, mate. Wasn't it? It was a game to go with Bude winning it in convincing fashion, mate, with 16 points and Launceston taking the runners-up spot. In East 1, Polperro were convincing winners, mate, ending with a 3-1 win at Llanreth on Wednesday night. They were winners with St Morgan beating St Austell 4-3 at Polterre to clinch the runners-up spot, and a home quarter-final tie on Saturday at Trevarian against Penryn, mate, who had a 100% record and a pretty good goal difference as well, mate. And I've put it here, Deke. It's before we've just had the chat, mate. But I've put their reward for that is a 60-mile round trip to St Morgan.
I'm not sure what the ruling is on travelling at the moment with, you know, the COVID restrictions.
Oh, yeah.
Are you to be in the same car or what?
Oh, yeah, that's true, mate. Because, yeah, it's not May the 17th until Monday, is it, mate?
No.
In theory. Yeah, that's true, Deke.
I'm not sure what they have to do on that. But change rooms are allowed open now, aren't they? So
Yeah, true, mate.
So
I
if
think,
they're open, presumably, think, it's not a problem.
Yeah. No, I think if everyone's sensible, Deeks, and it is, you know, seems to be.
Mm.
But Polperro, mate, coincidentally, will actually play at Penryn on Saturday, Deeks.
Yeah.
Which is a quirk of fate, mate, isn't it? A kick in the teeth. But the pitch will be being used anyway. When they visit St Day, mate, who edge through on goal difference after a 2-2 draw, a Desmond, mate, at Underlane against Wendron. And that was a game you took in, I believe, Diggs, didn't you?
Wendron played.
Fair result?
No.
Fair result, mate?
No, I don't think so. I thought Wendron probably played the better football. But they've got the same problem that the first team's got, and that they play some nice football, but no end product. Not helped by a missed penalty in the first half, or a penalty which was saved by the St Day keeper. So that didn't help. But, you know, St Day will give you a hard battle, but I thought Wendron probably would be kicking themselves afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame for them, mate. But would have been a nice scalp meet St Day for him, mate, wasn't it, really? They're Wendron's young team. But yeah, St Day are having work done on their own excellent Vogue pitch, Deke, aren't they? We visited a few weeks ago, mate. So they borrowed Koernik Road for the day, mate, which I think will suit two good attacking teams, I should imagine, Deke, down there, mate. Huge reward, mate, for dominating their group is a 120-mile round trip. Sorry, Diggs, I wrote this before we just had that conversation. I don't want to sound like a broken drum. But they got a very tricky tie at Oxen Park, Diggs, aren't they, against the Luggan, who secured their runners-up spot, mate, beating Porthleven 3-2, I think.
I thought they would have beaten them a bit more than that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I remember you going to watch a league game, Deeks, and didn't Luggan beat Porthleven, mate, 6-1, mate?
Yeah, a while back. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I was thinking along them lines, mate, you know, sort of, because, you know, Luggan's a team I really rate, but obviously not, mate. But yeah, so I think that'll be the tie of the round, I think, Deeks, won't it? Luggan v Bude, I think.
Yeah.
I think you might.
I've got to travel 3 miles to get to that game.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Rather
you got
than,
a 6 mile round trip, mate. Yeah. 6 mile round trip for that.
You might not even be that far, to be honest. But,
You could have a stroll for that one, please, couldn't you? Get the steps up, mate. If that was mass, mate, you'd be getting his 15,000 steps.
He'd be walking there, wouldn't he? That's true.
He would, wouldn't he? He would. But yeah, but I think that could well be the tie of the round, Deekson. Well, probably even make a good final, that one, mate, wouldn't it? A Luggan Bude, but. You know, the two sort of top sides when the leagues were curtailed, mate, weren't they? I think, Luggan and Bute.
But
be a good one for you, mate, on your doorstep. And finally, Ale, mate, who thrashed Mullion 5-0. I was really surprised that, you know, not surprised that Ale got a good win, mate, but, you know, Mullion's a tough old nut to beat 5-0, mate, and to emphatically, mate, win their group. And their reward, mate, is a 125-mile round trip up the A30 to Penygillan, mate. I think Potch has actually been on the forum, mate, and he's saying...
What time is the stagecoach leaving from Hale, then, to reach... I mean...
I think Paul Dort comes through about 10 o'clock, mate. You can hop on that one, I think.
Is that 10 o'clock on the Friday, or...
Friday night, mate.
That's right.
Yeah, first class to Lanson, please. But that'd be a tough game, mate, you know, playing out host Lanson, mate, wouldn't it? Mm. They you know, quite an informed team, aren't they, the last couple of months? But to be honest, it's all four ties. You know, there is one thing about it, mate. I think if a couple of teams were at home, I would fancy them a little bit more, but it's made all four ties, mate. You know, crackers, really, Deeks, really close. And I honestly wouldn't like to call any of them, really, mate. So,
well, you've got come on.
Well, I'm not, mate. I'm going to hand it over to you.
Right, yeah, I'll go for it. I'm ready and
all right, mate,
daring to go.
But I get my own bat for JC, mate, because you make him do the old East Cornwall Premier League Cup predictions, don't you, every week. So I thought Deeks could do the St Piran ones.
Yeah, well... I'm going to go...
I don't want to fall out with anyone, Dave.
No, that's true. You only fall out with
the FA. I cover this league.
That's right.
Apart from the FA.
I'm going...
The
easy way for me to answer this is, in fact, the first three games will all be away wins. So Polperro will beat St Day.
Yeah.
Bude will win at the Luggan. And Penryn will beat St Morgan if they play them. And... Right. The last game, Lanson against Hale. Now, I'm going to go with... Oh, what happens if it's a draw?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I would presume...
Well, it's in the rules that was sent out on the 20th of March, but I haven't got a set yet.
Yeah.
So,
not a lot of people read that, mate, did they?
That's right. I'm going to go... I'm going to go with a draw at 90 minutes and Lanson... to win it after extra time, because a couple of the Hale guys have got to leave early to get back to work.
Yeah, that's probably true, mate, isn't it? Yeah.
All right, mate. So three away wins, and Lanson to sneak through.
Okay, mate. Well done. Well done
so
for that,
that,
mate.
Oh, that means it's going to be three from the east, one from the west, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it will be, mate, won't it? And, ooh, well, yeah, I've got the semi-final draw here as well, Diggs, for anyone that's interested, mate. If it goes by your predictions, mate, it's going to be Polpero v. Lundsen and Bude v. Penryn, mate.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Another long trip for Penryn.
Yeah, well, I think it's neutral venue, isn't it, Diggs, the semis?
I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I read that far
because I knew I'd get knocked out in the first group stage, so I'm bothered.
I haven't really looked too far into it, mate. But it's basically, mate, St Day or Polpero v Lundsen or Hale and a Luggan or Bude v Penryn or St Morgan, mate. So, and that'll be next Saturday, the 22nd of May, those games.
Of course, I've got a proviso against that a Luggan Bude game prediction. That's only going to happen if Billy Hopcroft is playing for Bude.
Yeah, that's it, mate. If the Hopcrofts turn up, mate, I mean, even Barry's going to have his work cut out and go, won't he, mate?
That'll be interesting, won't it?
Yeah. Well, good match-up, that one, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the last game I watched there at Lugger was 0-0, so let's hope there's a... Well, there's got to be a couple... Yeah. I suppose there hasn't got to be a couple goals. It could be a penalty shootout, couldn't it? So.
It could be. Barry could score the winning penalty.
If it goes to a penalty shootout, a Luggan will win.
They've got some good lads, haven't they, mate? You know, Abbo and Barry. You know, it's
Barry
like a
and goal.
Ball, mate, couldn't they? Great keeper, isn't he? Great shot blocker. Yeah, I agree with that, actually, Diggs. Yeah, that's a good...
Can't wait for Saturday to come.
No, I think it'd be a game worth watching, that one, Dick. So I'll be texting you from St Morgan, mate. I've already checked the weather, mate, and it's horrible. I'm going to take my Adidas umbrella, mate, my big golf one, and I've got a feeling that one will blow inside out up St Morgan, mate. That's my prediction, mate.
Can you not watch it from one of the caravans?
I'm hoping, yeah.
One is open.
Yeah, because JC, didn't he change the picture around, mate, didn't he? I think we had Ash on, didn't we? Yeah, because you could drive in there before, Dicks, and watch from the car, but I'm not sure now, I'll have to ask JC, mate, in a text later, mate, now the picture's been changed around, I don't know if you can still watch from the car, mate, but Rach and Viv will be happy, mate, because they've got a couple little cake shops down in the village, mate, coffee and cake. So I might have to get up early on. So I'll have to a couple of hours kip Saturday morning, Dicks. Hope it's worth it, mate. Hope it's worth it. See a good game. But I'm sure we'll watch a couple of good games, mate. Just a little throw one in, Dicks. A while back, we did the richest teams in the world, mate, didn't we? Where, if I remember rightly, Barcelona came out top, didn't they, for 2020. I think we were surprised at that, weren't we? But I mean, massive club, obviously, but usually Real Madrid or Man United. But Forbes have come up with another rich list I've seen this week, Diggs, with accurate, they say accurate earnings of Premiership players 2021 weekly salary stakes.
You
ain't gonna believe a couple of these, mate.
You depressed me anymore.
Mate, I was depressed after. For anyone who's interested, and I mean, here's the top 20, Deeks. I mean, you ain't going to believe number one, mate. But 20th, mate, Timo Werner, mate, Chelsea, 170 grand a week. 19th, Roberto Firmino, Liverpool, 180. 18th, Alexandre Lacazette, Arsenal, 182.
This is a week.
17th. This is a week, Dicks. This is a week, mate. 17th, Ben Chilwell, Chelsea, 190. 16th, Willian, mate, Arsenal, 192. A lot of money for that one goal, Dicks, isn't it? 15th, Tanguy Ndombele, mate, one of your lads at Spurs, mate. Well, actually, Dicks, from 15th to 11th, We got lads who are all on the same money, the five lads, mate. Mm-hmm. So we got Ndombele at Spurs, Harry Kane at Spurs, Marcus Rashford at United, Mo Salah at Liverpool, and Thiago, mate, at Liverpool, all on 200 grand a week, Dicks. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Harry Kane's next contract will probably be double that.
Yeah.
Exactly, mate, yeah. Top 10, mate. Edison Cavani, United, 210. I mean, worth every penny, Diggs, I think, mate. Superb. Ninth, Sergio Aguero, Man City, 230 a week. Eighth, Anthony Martial, mate. Ooh. Tony Marshall, as we like to call him, mate. You've got a couple of songs about old Tony Marshall, mate. Yeah, he's on 250 a week, Deeks. Not sure old Tony's earned that this season, really. But Thomas Partey, mate, Arsenal. I mean, he could have a few parties with this, Deeks. Quarter of a million a week. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, mate. Arsenal, 250, 23 letters as well, incidentally, mate, in Aubameyang's name. He could be in our longest name, mate, couldn't he? Along with Mindaugas, Lazakowskis, Deeks, couldn't he? But yeah, he's on 250 a week. And the top five, Deeks, Paul Pogba, United, 290. Fourth, Raheem Sterling, Man City, 300 grand a week. Third, David De Gea, United, David De Gea, mate, 375 grand a week. Oh no, mate. Second, Kevin De Bruyne, I mean, fantastic player, Deeks, isn't he? Man City, 385,000 a week, Deeks. But listen to this one, mate. Listen to this one. It's one of your lads, mate, Tottenham.
What?
First place. Gareth Bale. Yeah. Yes, mate. Gareth Bale, 600 grand a week. 600 grand a week. Lucky he's only on loan, isn't it, mate? But I presume Real Madrid's paying a bit of that, though, aren't they?
I was going to say, assuming that some of that's paid by Real Madrid, because, I mean,
yeah, Spurs probably gone after.
Notorious players, aren't they? So,
used to be, mate, didn't they? Yeah. But, I mean, others, they, you know, I thought worth a mention, mate. Virgil van Dijk, mate, he's 21st. I mean, probably best defender in the world, mate. He's on 165. Bruno Fernandes, you know, revelation at United, 154. Jamie Vardy, 140 grand, mate. Not bad coming from non-league, Deeks. Mm. And along with Son of Spurs, mate, you know, I think he's a great player, Deeks, and he's Son. And Henderson at Liverpool, all 140 grand as well. Jack Grealish at Villa, 120. Along with Moyres at City and Luke Shaw at United, mate. England's number one, Deeks. Jordan Pickford's on 100 a week at Everton. The same as Lloris at Spurs, mate. France's World Cup winning captain and your captain as well, mate, isn't he, at Spurs? Mason Mount, mate, he's earning his 88 grand a week at Chelsea this season. And as is Ollie Watkins, mate, on 75 at Villa. He's done well, mate, since his 500 quid at Exeter, mate, isn't he? good old Ollie, mate. Jesse Lingard, mate, he's been earning his 75 a week on loan at West Ham. Andy Robertson, mate, Liverpool left back, got to be worth every penny of his 50 a week at Liverpool, Deeks. Our very own Jack Stevens, Deeks. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, mate, didn't we? From Tour Point, mate, Jack, mate, at Southampton. He commands 48 grand a week at Southampton, mate. Jack, I mean, should guarantee me old mates, Dad Paul and Uncle Ian a decent birthday present, Deeks, isn't it? I should think. Of Jack, mate. I think they'll get a decent present out of him. Nick Pope, England's backup keeper, he's on a mere 35 grand at Burnley, Deeks. Not sure how he gets by, really.
No, that's right.
Yeah, not sure how he gets feel for him. And also, or to believe, Deeks, this one, mate, I mean, it's not going to last long, but Phil Foden, Deeks, at Man City, you know, he's only on 12 grand a week, mate. I mean,
12 grand a week?
Yeah, Phil Foden, yeah. I think his next contract, though, mate, that he's going to sign
at least 15,
in the summer, is going to have a nought on the end of that, wouldn't you, mate? Yeah, I think there'd be a nought on the end of that, mate. He's one of the first names on the team sheet now, Deeks, isn't he, I think?
That's not grand, fair,
yeah.
It's
mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got Kevin De Bruyne, mate, on 385, and then Foden playing next to him on 12 grand.
Well,
it's nuts,
I mean,
isn't it?
He expects the pass from Foden, if I was Foden, I'd say, get it yourself. Get the boy yourself.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah, exactly. Is he... what is it, mate? I don't know. Is he 20 times better than Phil Foden, mate? I don't know, mate.
How old's Foden? 20?
Yeah, he's just turned 20, isn't he, Deeks? I think he's up for new contract in the summer,
it's
isn't
it? Probably a contract that was agreed 5 years ago, isn't it? Yeah. Now, yeah,
exactly. Exactly, mate. Yeah, he's still on that sort of young man's contract, isn't he? So he's going to get a whopper, isn't he, in the summer. So, yeah. But finally, Deeks, no books in the post this week, mate. Just a nice little documentary, if anyone's got a spare 33 minutes this week. It's on the Sky platforms, mate, you know, on demand or whatever. And it's called, don't know if you've seen it, mate, it's called Newcastle, The Entertainers.
I've got it recorded. Yes, I've got it recorded to watch.
Oh, brilliant, Deeks. Brilliant. If you've got a spare half hour, mate, I know you're busy tonight, mate, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Not if you stopped talking, I wouldn't be.
No, true, mate. I'll finish now, mate. I mean, it's a one city club, mate, isn't it? Newcastle, with fanatical supporters. So John Hall, basically, mate, a jury himself, he hired Kevin Keegan, an ex-Newcastle legend in 1992. And he built a team, Deeks, that I'm sure was everyone's second favourite team back then. I know it was mine, mate. I don't know about you, but I used to love watching Newcastle, mate. But and then Keegan got a bit of flak, Deeks, didn't he, for selling Andy Cole to United for $7 million plus Keith Gillespie. But he then went on to bring in Les Ferdinand, David Ginola, Alan Shearer and Faustino Asprilla, mate. And Knoll was quickly forgiven on Tyneside, mate. But 12 points clear in January 96, Deeks, playing scintillating attacking football. But ended up being picked for the title by United, mate. And the following season, mate, Keegan ended up resigning in January 97, despite beating United 5-0 just weeks earlier, Deeks. Remember that game? And, yeah, and the dream was over, mate, and the Entertainers were no more. But well worth half hour, mate, of your time, Deeks, except for any football fan, you know, any football fan's time, mate. I'd certainly forgotten just how good that team was, Deeks. You know, watching it again was like brilliant, and such a shame that they didn't win the league title, really, Deeks, wasn't it, that Newcastle team?
Where is Kevin Keegan these days?
Don't know, mate. He's gone quiet, hasn't he, mate? I know he's got a sort of mansion in Spain, mate, hasn't he? I think he does a bit. Yeah, I've seen him on that. Is it Al Jazeera, mate? You know that sporting channel? Yeah, I think he does quite a bit of punditry for them, Deeks. So. Yeah, last I've seen him. But yeah, my first hero, mate, Kevin Keegan, Deeks.
Hence, your first hero.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah, that's it. He's to blame for that, Deeks, Keegan. Yeah. Keegan, Lineker, then Van Basten, mate, I think. I'd say only three
Lineker,
heroes,
Deeks. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant, mate. Thought he was class. You know, the 86 and 90 World Cups, mate, wasn't he, for England, and just those little 5 yard runs, mate, to lose a defender. And remember, he scored a hat trick for Barcelona against Real Madrid as well, Deeks, didn't he? Do you remember that, Lineker, mate? And
I do remember, striker. But being a Real Madrid supporter, remember, rather than a Barcelona one, I've tried to forget it.
Yeah, I'm sure you remember his Spurs goals more than his Barcelona ones, mate. But yeah, well, that's it for this week, Deeks. I'll shut up now, mate. I'll let you get on.
Right. Well, I don't think we've got time or anything else.
No. Sorry, mate.
Right. Thanks for that, Rappo. Plenty in there to talk about. And the Superior League Cup. I've just actually seen a post on the forum from someone connected with Penryn suggesting that the trip isn't as far, but it's a joke. Our four clubs still don't have home advantage. He's meaning the winners, obviously. So a lot of problems being raised by this. But like I said, you know, you had the chance. This is the thing. Read the rules, isn't it?
I suppose, Deeks.
Anyway, let's not go on about it. No, that's right.
It's gone, mate, isn't it? It's gone.
It's gone, right.
Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform and search for Cornish Soccer Talking Football. And also, if you want to listen back to any previous podcasts of Cornish Soccer, they are all available at anchor.fm/CornishSoccer. Thank you.
Okay, regular listeners will know that on a regular basis, we talked to Gareth Davies, one of the sports reporters from the Voice newspaper group, and we both agreed that the 4 weeks comes around very, very quickly.
Yeah, it does, Dave, and it always seems to coincide with the launch of a new paper, so that, you know, the months flown by for us again, what with the launch of the New Penzance Voice, which went on sale on Wednesday, that obviously covers Penzance and the surrounding areas in terms of sport and news. Obviously, sport, more importantly, football is the thing that the listeners are going to want to know about and what's in the paper with that. We're also selling copies on the Scilly Isles as well, which is great. Not that there's a great deal of football out there, but, you know, people obviously that live out on the Scillies are interested in stuff that goes on the mainland. And I think that's a real, and another area we've gone into where there's a real, real buoyant football scene. Obviously, Penzance, you know, historically a strong club, you know, looking to rebuild after some lean times, I would think they've had there. And obviously, then you've got Jay Cash and Mousel down there, you know, very ambitious club. Obviously, you know, disappointed that it seems, although nothing's actually been properly rubber stamped yet, that they're going to miss out on promotion to the Western League and they'll be in the Peninsula League again next season. And, you know, and then a very buoyant, you know, there's lots and lots of teams in the Trelawney League and the Combo League and that want to get involved and want to, you know, want their coverage to be in our publications. It is a, you know, rugby and cricket are big down there as well, so we have to balance the coverage out. But all in all, the reaction we got has been really good so far. I think Tom Howe, our head of sport, went to cover Penzance Reserves at Frogpool on Saturday, and, you know, they were guys that run the Penzance second team were really good and really, you know, excited about what we're doing, really. So yeah, another good area with really strong sport in it, Dave, I think.
Yeah, and certainly steeped in tradition, I would say as well. So
yeah, absolutely, and I can't wait. You know, I've obviously over the years I've covered many games at many different grounds. Obviously not just here in Cornwall, but for the listeners that don't know, obviously I lived in Dorset for a long time before I moved to Cornwall, but Penzance, you know, one of the most traditional grounds in Cornish football with those classic wrought iron gates at the I've never been to Penzance, so it's one that I need to tick off, and I'll be looking forward to ticking that off next season.
Right, and also you enjoy the long stand there as well. It's well, it must be the longest one in the county, I would imagine. And
yeah, it looks like a what I would call, I don't want to sound old fashioned here or too stereotypical, but an old fashioned football ground.
Yeah.
We sent Paul Williams, our photographer, down there on a recce last week to take pictures of, you know, the local landmarks and also the local sporting grounds. So obviously, he popped into the rugby ground and he went up to the cricket ground and he also took some pictures of the football ground as well. And I'd never really seen it close up like that, but yeah, it's got that kind of traditional football ground feeling to it. So yeah, no, we're just really, really excited and really looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into another area.
Okay, well, in the meantime, what's sort of taken your fancy football-wise in the last 4 weeks since we last spoke?
Well, since we last spoke, Dave, I mean, I think about the St Austell area. There's obviously been a manager change at St Stephen. Obviously, Craig Code has decided to step down as St Stephen manager. There was some talk. It was a bit of unsubstantiated rumours that the club were on the verge of folding and they were in some form of crisis, which was, you know, to use a classic football journalism term, was really wide of the mark. You know, I spoke to Craig Code at length and basically his commitments meant that he couldn't devote the time to do it anymore. He helps run junior football as well in the area. And he just didn't think he could do it anymore. I think in hindsight, and I actually asked him this, you know, would he have still been the manager if St Stephen hadn't have entered a team into the East Cornwall Premier League Cup? And he kind of said yes, you know, because there was problems with player availability. And I believe sort of like the league wouldn't budge on dual registered players playing and things like that. And then they did change the rules, I think. Don't quote me on that, because I wouldn't want to say that they did, they didn't, but I believe they then changed the rules. But that was kind of like after Craig had made his decision to step down. And then obviously John Lemasrier, the secretary, decided that he would do likewise. So I kind of guess that people put two and two together and thought, oh dear, that looks like there's, you know, they're a bit of a club in crisis. And obviously they then pulled out of the East Cornwall League Cup, which wasn't unexpected, to be honest. But they've moved quickly to appoint Anton Lake as their new manager. Obviously, Anton played for St Austell, played for all the clubs really around that area. He had, I guess you'd have to say, an ill-fated spell managing Foxhole last season. Didn't quite work for him there, unfortunately. Lost a lot of games by, you know, the odd goal here and there. Again, it was a little bit of a rebuilding job at Foxhole. You know, Foxhole had a huge amount of success under Sean German and Lee Wetta for two seasons. Obviously, Sean German decided to go to Llanavet for last season. I wouldn't say he took players with him. One or two went with him. One or two decided to go elsewhere. Foxhole had to fold their reserve team due to a lack of players. They appointed Anton, and it didn't quite work for him. And he's gone in as the manager at St Stephen, which I think is a great appointment. Anton's a lovely chap. I had a good chat with him over the weekend about it. And they still don't know what league they're going to be playing in next year. Obviously, they had applied for promotion to the St Piran League. We don't quite know the makeup of the leagues. Well, we don't quite know the makeup of any league, to be honest, but no. You would think that the teams going out of the Peninsula League would then cause vacancies in the Peninsula League, which would be filled by St Piran teams, we think, or maybe Truro City Reserves. We don't know, although it would seem unlikely that that would happen, and it's more likely that it would be St Piran teams. And obviously then that creates the domino effect down the leagues, and teams will obviously want to come up. But Anton said that, you know, that he would be quite happy managing St Stephen if they played in the St Piran League, or if they have to stay in the East Cornwall League, he'd be happy with that as well. He said that the majority of the players are going to stick around as well, which is good, but obviously the litmus test for that will be when pre-season starts and other clubs kind of, you know, start fishing around, which we all know that happens. So, a real positive story after a real negative story up in the Clay Country, really. And obviously, as well, for that patch, the St Piran League Cup is still going on as well, which has produced some really good games. I went to St Morgan's Sticker last Saturday, and that was a really feisty affair with... you know, on a typically wet and windy day up at Sticker, it's never any different up there, is it? It's always windy, and that was a really good game. And obviously, the group stages for the St Piran League finished on Wednesday, I think. So that's still going on. So there's lots going on. The other areas, I mean, obviously Tom Howe looks after Bodmin and Newquay, and Lee Hall looks after Saltash at the moment. But lots going on in all those areas. Obviously, looking in the far east of the county in Saltash, obviously the big news down there is that Saltash United have signed Tom Cleveland from Liscard Athletic, which Lee Hall spoke to Dane Bunny, and I think he spoke to Tom as well. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, that's obviously big news down there. I mean, Tom was free scoring in a really attacking Liscard team last season, you know, for what we had of last season. And obviously with the manager leaving at Liscard, that team seems to be slowly being dismantled. But obviously, it's a great signing for Saltash, and obviously in the women's game as well. So mention that Saltash United women have won the league. I think they've won 9 out of 9. I think they play their final game this coming Sunday. So that's a really good story. And you know, although there's nothing going on at those clubs at the moment, so to speak, you know, we've held. A positive dialogue with both Torpoint and Callington about covering them as well. So that's all good. And yeah, I'm trying to think what Tom's would have had for Bodmin and Newquay this week. Obviously, the Bodmin, the Kerno FA played a friendly against Camelford at Bodmin on Wednesday night, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Tom, and obviously the Kerno team's managed by Darren Gilbert. So Tom spoke to Darren about that. And in Newquay, I think we obviously had the St Morgan game with Sticker. I think Godolphin played Indian Queens as well in a friendly. So still football going on. And then obviously over to what we would say probably, you know, the big one in Truro City. I had a good chat with Paul Watton on Tuesday morning, and I believe by the time the listeners, you know, listen to this, there's going to be some news in terms of players signing new contracts, things like that. I had a really, really good chat with Paul. We were supposed to do it on Monday, but obviously he was busy on Monday. His son, and again, I don't know if the listeners know this, but obviously his son, Alfie, is part of the academy set up at Plymouth Argyle, and he got his contract extended for another year, which is brilliant. So congratulations to Alfie and to Paul on that. In his dad's footsteps, maybe. Big shoes to fill at Argyle, obviously. But no, I had a good chat with Paul, and you know, he, I think the thing with Truro City, certainly, let's talk about the playing side of things first, because I know and I've seen, there's seen bits and bobs on your forum, Dave, about, you know, people are starting to get a little bit itchy about the ground stuff. I'll come to that in a minute. But first of all, in terms of on the playing side of things, I think Paul's sort of way of looking at it was, it wasn't broken last season, so there's no need to try and fix it. I don't think you're going to see a huge amount of incomings. I don't think you're going to see a huge amount of outgoings there at Truro. I think Paul's very happy with his squad. You've got to remember, Dave, they only played 8 league games last year, you know, but in them 8 league games, I think they were very much one of the front runners. I think they were fourth when the league was knocked on its head. And again, I think they probably would have been there or thereabouts for the there or thereabouts for promotion again. So he's kind of, like I say, his way of looking at it is, it wasn't broke, so I'm not going to try and fix it. There is going to be a signing, I think, I've tried to see if I would get a name out of anyone, but we haven't been successful yet. But from what I've heard, it's going to be quite a big name. They are looking to make one addition, which is quite substantial, which is great. Obviously, the off-the-field stuff, you know, again, I sort of read the posts and what supporters have been saying on your forum, and I got some quotes from Paul, which I think we're going to run in next week's paper, you know, and he basically said that he can't keep saying be patient, stay with us, because the supporters will think they're empty words, you know. He'd said that he'd seen a few things where people had said he'd only signed a new contract because they were playing at Plymouth Parkway, you know. But he spoke about how much he wants Truro to be playing back in the city, really, and I think that's what we all want, really. And I also had a really positive chat with Alex Black also earlier in the week, and you know, I think what the supporters have to realise is there's a lot that goes on in the background. With the greatest respect, it's not just a case of, right, well, let's hire a few diggers and start, we'll put some bricks down and we'll start building a ground. There's lots of complicated legalities, planning stuff, hurdles to overcome. I would say I would still be confident that the Truro City will end up playing back in the city at Langarth. When that will be, well, I don't think anyone can predict. I don't think anyone can predict that. We're coming out of the midst of a global crisis as well. I think, you know, wouldn't want to use that as an excuse, but I think it's a factor in all of this as well. So, I wouldn't want to use, again, what Paul said, you know, empty words, but I think the supporters just have to be a little bit patient. And like I say, there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes, which I mean, not even I'm privy to, you know, I don't know what's going on. Certainly with us at the paper, we've built up quite a good relationship with the football club, and I'm pretty confident they're not leading us down the garden path with this one, and that, you know, one day in the not too distant future, and I will stress that, not too distant future, can't put a date on it, you know, the likes of myself and you and all the other people will be able to cover games at, when they said Tree Road then, crikey, yeah. But, you know, it's up at Langarth, so...
Well, you've been all around the country with that, I think, and yeah. You've got us up to date. Thanks very much.
That's all right. No, not a problem.
This is going to be the longest pre-season ever, I think, isn't it? Because it's a weird setup at the moment. You've got clubs playing friendlies. You've got competitions still going on, like you've mentioned the St. Pyrian League, you know, League Cup, the East Cornwall Premier League Cup. It's getting very confusing, isn't it, as to who is preparing for next season whilst there's some that are still playing this one.
Yeah, I think, again, speaking to the managers that I've spoken to and the administrators and chairman and players as well, that this situation gives clubs the opportunity, I know this sounds really simplistic, but it gives clubs the opportunity to almost, you know, tailor it to how they want it for their club, if that makes sense. So for instance, if you take the situation at St. Blaise, okay, St. Blaise are trying to build a new side, so it was obvious they weren't going to play any matches, obvious that wasn't going to happen. So, you know, they will use this time to recruit, and then they will start their pre-season as normal. You've got other clubs that, you know, that we'll use this time as a pre-season, if you get what I mean. And you know, you've got other clubs that will use it for other reasons. So it is a really weird, you know, I find it strange to still be covering football matches in the middle of May. You know, normally, I mean, I was looking at, you know, memories on Facebook or something the other day, and it popped up from sort of 2 or 3 years ago. I think I covered the Cornwall Charity Cup final down at St Blasey when St Dennis beat a Luggan. And that, you know, games like that, that's the season done and dusted, you know, and yet there's still games going on. I mean, I think I was looking at the fixtures. I think there's still games in the Trelawney League, I think it's Division 3 in the Trelawney League, where almost all the clubs in that division opted to restart again. I mean, they've got matches that go on almost till June, you know, so it is a little bit strange, but I think, like I say, I think all the clubs are using this time to tailor it to themselves, how they want to use it. But I think the overall result, Dave, will be that everyone will be really well prepared for next season, which I think is really, really important. I think it's really important that we start next season on time, and I think that will happen as long as there's not any problems. You know, obviously on Monday rules were relaxed further. There's obviously talk about rules again being relaxed further on June the 22nd. Supporters are able to go back to professional games now, which is fantastic. So I think everything's moving in the right direction, and I think the clubs will come to the start, whenever that start is, the early part of August, in a really good shape, and I just think that's really good for football. You know, is there a benefit of still playing right until the beginning of June? I don't know. Some clubs will say, yeah, absolutely, because we haven't played much over the last 18 months. You know, you have some clubs that have played that if they hadn't have opted to play in, you know, the extended Trelawney League or the St Piran Cup or the East Cornwall Cup or the North District Cup, or there's another one for the Duchy clubs in the East of Cornwall as well. You know, some of them clubs that I've spoken to would have played single-figure games in best part of 18 months. Well, that, you know, so there's the reasons why they want to play. Yet, like I say, if you ask Phil Lafferty at St Blasey, well, are you going to play any games? Well, of course I'm not, because I haven't got a team, but I'm going to use this time to build a team. So it's a good time for people to take stock. And the other side of it, Dave, is, I've seen pictures of, you know, Saltash are doing some work to their ground. You've got other clubs thinking of the St Piran Cup. I mean, St Dennis haven't played games at home because they're doing work to their ground. Callington are the same. So, you know, it's a time to take stock. But the great thing, I think, is that we'll come back to the start that first Saturday in August, and everyone will be in great shape. Everyone will be great to be back. Barring a real big catastrophe, you're going to have supporters in the ground, which is the most important thing, because whatever we say, football is nothing without supporters. It is nothing. You know, I went to the game last Saturday. There's no one there. You know, it's soulless. It really is soulless without the supporters. Although I have to say, there was an interesting spectator there, actually, at Sticker St Morgan, in Simon Long. Simon Long was assessing the referee, and he came in a kind of disguise, and he sort of sat in the corner. But Chris Osborne, and the Sticker secretary, who many of the listeners will know, and I sort of spotted him out straight away, and we had a really, really good chat to him. And then you turn on the telly on Sunday afternoon, and there he is at West Ham. I think he did West Ham Everton. So, but no, like I say, football is nothing without supporters, and you know, we just have to keep everything crossed that it's heading towards a normal start to 21-22, which is what we all want, I think.
Yeah, certainly we do. Thanks for that, Gareth. You got me thinking, did Simon come in with a wig and a beard on, or what, when you said he was?
Well, he had a hat on. I mean, I think if you look at the back of our St Austell paper this week, Paul Williams was there, and so I managed to get Paul to take a picture of him when Simon was walking around. I can't remember if it was at half-time, whether it was at full-time, but he kind of, I mean, obviously, no disrespect if you're listening, Simon, but obviously the bald head gives it away a lot of the time, but, you know, he had a hat on and his coat done up, and, you know, I just thought, that looks like Simon there. And the referee, Sam, I can't remember what his surname was, but he didn't know that he was there until at half-time.
Oh,
so, and it was actually a a difficult game to officiate. It was quite feisty, and I thought the referee did really well to keep a lid on things. So it was all good.
Right. Well, thank you very much for that. A run through of what's happening with the Voice newspaper and football and the county and all over the place. So thanks for that. Now, when we next speak, is there going to be any more taking over the universe or not?
Yeah, there is, Dave. Yes, there is. And well, you say, oh no, but one that will please you. I believe the next one off the Voice production line, which is keeps churning them out, is Camborne.
Right.
So obviously that, you know, you'll be able to pop down to your local news agents and pick up the paper down there. And again, that's another area that, you know, we're you know, look at all these areas, and they're just full of sport and full of sport that wants covering, really. And I know for Camborne, obviously the rugby's big and the cricket's big, but there's a thriving football scene there as well, and there's other things, you know, running groups and all other bits and bobs. So yeah, no, another area we're looking to get our teeth stuck into. And then after that, I don't know what's happening. Hopefully we'll have a break.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for that, Gareth.
Not a problem, Dave, anytime.
Okay, cheers then.
Cheers.
You're listening to the Cornish Soccer Rappo and Deke's Friday Fix.
I mean, the Voice, Deke, you're right, mate. They're taking over the universe, Deke. They've even gone overseas, mate, haven't they? To the Scilly Isles.
To the Scillies, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Gareth and Tom, mate, they're taking that over, aren't they? Well done to them, mate. Especially that Penwith catchment area, mate, Penzance. It would be a good paper, mate, wouldn't it, to have them that way. There's some good teams down that way, mate. Tom Cleveland, Gareth mentioned, mate. Good signing for Dane at Salt Ash, that Deeks, isn't it, from Liscord?
Yeah.
Do you remember him, Deeks? You know, that, remember him from that first game of the season, that Friday night game we went to watch at Lockport, against Bodmin, wasn't he? He was a real handful that night, mate, wasn't he? I think he scored one.
Right.
Yeah. He did, didn't he? Yeah. Looked strong, didn't he? Scored one. I think he assisted one for James Lorenz as well, mate, didn't he, that night? So, good signing for Dane, that, mate. I think he's the type of striker that probably suit the Western League as well, Deeks, wouldn't it? Because he's a touch more physical, isn't it? A little touch more physical.
Yeah.
Some of the defending's a bit more robust, I think, mate, isn't it? And I think that'll suit him.
Gareth also mentioned there with the Truro City News, and we touch on this in a minute with Cam, but this marquee signing that might be appearing. What is a marquee signing? Is it a big tent or what?
I was going to say, mate, I don't think we should get too tense about it, mate. but you killed me joke before I asked.
I know.
I was going to say we shouldn't get too tense about it, but I don't know if it's a marquee signing, mate. I've always wondered where that it sort of originated from, haven't you, mate? But. Yeah. I suppose it means someone has done a bit, Deeks, done it in his career, maybe played at a higher sort of level, dropping down, and hopefully is a big name, mate. Hopefully a big name.
I did. I don't exactly know who Argyle have released. My thought was, is there anyone quite, well, not being rude, but quite old in the football terms, quite old, that's left Argyle, but. All these sides nowadays have quite young squads, don't they?
They do. I think a lot of our gold players are up north as well, Dick, aren't they? Their roots, aren't they?
Yeah.
These are the squad, I think, these days. So,
well, the only one anyone's mentioned to me is Cody Cook. And now, would you put him as a marquee signing? I don't know. But he's not playing at the moment, is he, at Weymouth? So
No, mate. I mean, Cody's had a lot of problems, mate, hasn't he, with injuries and stuff, mate. And he's been really unlucky. I think I would, mate. I'd say Cody, you know, he's played Scottish Premiership, mate, football. I mean, decent standard, Dick. And obviously National League at Weymouth, you know, start of this season. So, yeah, I mean, well, crikey, love to see Cody back at Truro, wouldn't you, mate? I would.
Well, you might have to wait a little bit to see him back at Truro, but Parkway, perhaps.
Well, yeah, exactly. At Blytho, I should say, mate, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who this marquee signing is, Deeks, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see if our next double act can put any more light on the subject. It's Cam Weldon, who, of course, keeps us up to date with Truett City, and John Colenso, our East Cornwall Premier League man. Right, well, we've got Cam and John on together again this week for the podcast. Let's start with John. Have you got anything for us?
I have our COVID Cup reporting, as per usual, Dave.
Right. Anything exciting?
Yeah, it was two close games last Saturday. Mount Gould and Gunnislake drew one apiece at Elberton Villa. And St Dom drew 4-4 with Marjon at home. And by the sound of it, they were very lucky to get a draw out of it. They scored two in the last couple of minutes to make it 4-4.
Right.
Exciting game.
Do those results affect any of your thoughts as to who will win the group?
I would say tonight, being Wednesday, St Dom against Mount Gould at St Dom will probably... They're joint at the moment, aren't they? And if, you know, if St Dom can get a win tonight, then the pressure's on Mount Gould when their fixtures reverse next week. So it makes you quite exciting, that side of the league.
Right. And whilst we're talking about venues, you've got some news, no doubt, on where Mount Gould are playing their game against St Dominic on Saturday.
Yeah, that's at Priory Park, which is Bodmin, yeah. So, so they've kindly offered them their pitch. Obviously, well, we've all seen Mount Gould's pitches being used for other purposes at the moment.
Right. Well, we'll come back and ask you for your predictions a little bit later. Let's bring in Cam. Well, you said last week you might have some news about signings or contracts or whatever. Have you got any?
I have, Dave. I've listened. Well, I've come along with my promise, Dave, and I've I've got the response I wanted. So, we've got two announcements of new player contracts. I'm telling you now, there will be more over the next week. But the first two, Tyler Harvey has signed a contract extension, and as has Niall Thompson. So two of pretty high profile names in our squad, two fans' favourites really. So it's fantastic news to have both of them secured for the foreseeable future. Two very good footballers, and I know both of them are very happy to sign on as well. Niall said to me, he feels like he's been playing the best football of his career the last couple of seasons, and I think that's shown on the pitch. You can clearly see that from fans off it. You're looking at it thinking, wow, what a player he's become, and he's so versatile, really good signing. And Tyler, that's not what else have I said on the I've said it on the podcast thousands of times how good he is, and his record speaks for itself. Goal scoring record, I think it's 72 goals and 120 odd appearances, so it's ridiculous numbers really. Both fantastic new additions, but both fantastic to have in the club still. For the next season.
Niall must be one of the longest serving players now, mustn't he?
Yeah, I think he is actually. I think Jay might be the longest. Jamie Richards, 2015, I think he signed. I think Niall signed 2016. He did have a loan spell before that for a short time, but it's between those two, so most certainly for the longest serving player. They've been there, I think this is Niall's fifth season now, so both of them have been around for a long time. And to be honest, Tyler's been around for, he signed in early 2017, first of all, so he's been around a lot for Truro a long while, and he's still only 25, Tyler, so plenty of goals and plenty of years still left in him, hopefully, at Truro. So both, it's good. I'm sure the gaff will be delighted to have them both pinned on for the next, well, for the foreseeable future.
Right. It also gets a bit confusing because there's a handful of Truro players that have actually returned to the club over the last couple of years, isn't it? So I guess me saying Niall Thompson, one of the longest serving players, there could well be a couple of the players that signed actually for Truro before Niall did, but left and came back.
Yeah, that's a prime example. So I think Ryan Brett's one of them. Shane White is certainly one of them as well. There's a few, and to be honest, even there's a few of them. I said, I think who else? Ed Palmer is another one. Mm. It's the way it is, isn't it, Dave? You look at the squads and stuff. Conor Riley Lowe's another, and it's just where. I think it's just the where we are location-wise. The players, there's a finite amount of players who are prepared and, more to the point, good enough to play at this level in the area, in the Devon Cornwall area, and it's always going to happen where players come and go and come back. And it's not just us. You look at Tiverton, Taunton, Western, Poole, Dorchester, all the clubs in this southwest. They've all sort of, players sort of go between all the clubs, really. And I see tonight Jordan Bastin's joined Western from Tiverton. So, and Jared Lewington, a former Truro player, he's joined Taunton from Tibby as well. So, it's, they, as I said, they all sort of go around and come back and come and go. But luckily for Truro, they all seem to, a lot of them are back here now. And the ones who we perhaps like back as well, the ones like you look at Shane White, Ryan Brett, they're the sort of players you want in the club. And thankfully, we've got them. So, yeah, it's all good at the moment.
Good. And John, let's ask you this one. We're all a bit tribal down here as to, you know, we only support our one team and that's it. We don't sort of look at football too much elsewhere. But are there many people in your sort of area, the St Clair Liscott area, that actually are that fussed about Truro City?
Not as much because of the, obviously they haven't seen them much, Dave. I suppose it's, you know, trying to fit in your own club football around the higher league football is quite difficult, isn't it? But I think probably get a lot more visitors to Bolitho Park, I reckon, from this end of the county, to be fair.
That's what I was thinking. With them moving to Plymouth, it may just stir a little bit of interest, mightn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I know there's a couple of lads from the club that used to go down on the train to watch Truro at Truro, but I think they'll get a lot more once they're at Bolitho, to be fair, and then hopefully get a bigger following once they do go home eventually.
Right. And you with your groundsman's hat on, any news on what Bolitho Park is looking like?
It's starting to green up, apparently, which is good news. There's some grass coming through. I think there's been some pictures on Twitter as well. But because they've put a lot of soil and obviously drainage gravel in, it creates a lot of heat because there's gravel in there. So they've needed a lot of rain. So the rain that's coming down now at the
moment. Well, they've had that in the last couple of days.
Yeah, and it's not been too hard either. It's just been nice rain, do you know what I mean? So it's not flooding or puddling. It's just literally soaking into the ground nicely. So it's perfect conditions at the minute for what they're doing.
Good. And Cam, whilst we're talking about turf and ground, I did see a photo of Truro Road the other day where it looked as if some of the turf had been taken up. Tell me that's not being kept for Langarth.
No,
well, there's lots of other things being kept for Langarth, apparently.
Yeah, I don't actually know the answers of that, Dave. I'm 99% certain it's probably not going to go end up at Langarth. But I think, well, they'd be mad. Well, what's the one thing everyone moans about Truro Road for? It was always the pitch. They'd be mad if they wanted to take that turf with them anywhere. So I don't even think anyone would want that in their garden, to be honest. But I'm hopeful it's not going to end up in Langarth.
Apparently, you can buy that on Cam's eBay shop, though.
£5 for a little snippet.
Yeah, now he needs some employment because he's finished his uni course. He's got to get out there in the real world and make some money. So
penalty spot's £20.
Yeah, £20. I want more than that. It's £50, mate.
Right. Now, Cam, Gareth Davies was on the podcast earlier today, and he's saying that there's going to be a news, well, hopefully, of a big marquee sort of signing. Now, I know that you don't know who it is, so I'm not going to ask you who it is. But any ideas, you know, what part of the field, the lineup, the squad that it might be that Paul wants to strengthen?
As you say, I don't know who the player is, and I really don't know, to be honest, Dave, because we look at the squad, like, the only, like, I'm looking at it forward line. I'm looking at players we've lost. So obviously Kieran Hayes left, and I know at the time Paul said he wasn't looking for a striking option, but he did say that if the right man came along, then he wouldn't say no. So there's basically a spot that we had last season where we had a striker. So there's a striker / winger spot that Kieran Hayes had. Reuben Collins got released, well, about an hour before we're speaking to you, so a centre back. So whether he's looking to bring in a new defender, I don't know. So it's a weird one. It's but Truro have always done, like, we've done this ever since Paul's been in. He's always had like a marquee big signing. Obviously, when he first arrived, he wanted Tyler, and last summer was the exact same. He wanted Rocky Neal, and he wanted Shane White and wanted Ryan Brett, and he got all three of them, and Ryan Dixon as well was another one he wanted on a permanent deal. He got him. So he tends to be the way when he wants a player, 9 times out of 10 he gets them. So I don't know who this player is. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know what position he is. But it'd be interesting to see who he is and where he comes from. But I'm sure I'll be looking forward to getting the text or the phone call and telling me who he is, and I can work on announcement videos. So that's always the funnest part of my job. I always enjoy doing that. So.
But I understand that Will Dean has been or not been retained by Exeter City, and I know that you're actually quite keen on him, aren't you? Is he the sort of player that would register as a marquee signing?
Yeah, 100%. Like, Dino's someone, well, any Truro fan will, who knows who he is, they would have seen him in, what was it, 2019-20 season, the one that we very nearly got promoted in. He was absolutely superb, and he won the Players Player of the Year. So I think that goes to show how good a player he is. And there was a reason that Exeter, he played him in a few games this year, and I listened to Matt Taylor speak about him, and he was saying it was one of those where it was just competition for positions, really, and Will was missing out. But I'd be surprised if he did come back, solely because I believe he's too good for the level we're at. But I think that can be said for a lot of the Truro players. So that would definitely be a marquee signing. Whether it's him, I don't know, but that is certainly the sort of player that I'm sure Paul would, if he got offered to him, I'm sure Paul would bite his hand off to get him. So he's the sort of player that any manager's dream, really. The what he does on the ball, what he does off the ball as well, and he's a really nice lad off the field as well. So it's that would be a great sign. Do I think it's him? Probably not. But as I said, I don't really know. I've been surprised before by Truro, so I've no idea.
Right. Okay. Well, let's go back to John, and it's that time of the discussion where he mentioned predictions on your COVID Cup games in the East Cornwall Premier League. Didn't do quite so well last week, did you?
No, not quite so good as I thought, but I'm quite pleased with the outcome of the scores, though, really. It makes it a bit more exciting, the scores that did come in. So, yeah.
Okay. So, two games played and neither of them correct. So, are you going to do a little bit better this week, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So, we've got... we have got on Saturday Plymouth Marjohn against Gunniss Lake. Almost said St Clair then. Plymouth Marjohn, yeah, against Gunniss Lake. What's your thoughts on that one?
Marjohn Gunny. I'm going to go for Gunniss Lake.
Gunniss Lake, right. So an away win. And also in that same group, Mount Gould against St Dominic.
That's going to be a one-all draw.
And the other one on Saturday, St Newlyn East against Ferryon.
Oh, blimey, that's a tight one, isn't it? I did look at that one earlier and couldn't decide.
Well, St Newlyn East beat them 4-1, didn't they, in the game a couple of weeks ago? So
I think the youngsters have really sort of improved at Ferryon in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
They've got going and played a few games. I've heard some good reports on their youngsters. It's a couple of the lads that they've had from St Austell, the under-18s, wherever it was.
Yeah.
I'm going to go another draw on that one.
Ooh, another draw. Right, and then it's midweek games, isn't it? We've got St Dominic against Gunniss Lake.
St Dominic will win that one.
And finally, Newquay against St Newlyn East.
St Newlyn East.
Right, and there's still one to be arranged, I think, in the Plymouth Marjohn against Mount Gould.
Yes.
Any idea when that game's likely to be played?
No, because there was a little bit of, obviously, Mount Gould...
Oh, this is because of their cup involvement, is it? Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. Obviously, they've not got their pitch at the moment, and Marjohn are not sure when their pitch is available because it's on the youth campus. So there's a little bit... I think they're probably, like, waiting for the Devon Cup game to be played and then sort of try and get a date between the two of them after that.
Right. When was this competition aimed to be completed by? Any idea?
End of May.
Right.
I see the suggestion on the forum that one of the, because the final game is a two-leg, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's a suggestion it might go into June, but I don't think they will, to be honest. I think it's getting done in May.
Okay. Righty-ho. Well, final word to Cam. What's this about a video act very soon about Truro City and you?
Yeah, so this is what I've been working on for, 4 months now, so it's been quite a while. It's my end-of-year uni project. It's called Farewell Truro Road, and it's a 15-minute video documentary on basically the, well, Truro departing Tree Road, and the reaction of the fans, supporters and players and stuff. So we got the likes of Jake Ash, Steve Massey, and yours truly, Dave, in there as well. So
all the stars.
Yeah. All the stars, yeah, exactly. But so that's coming out on Friday evening. That's going to be on Mark Huckle's Pirin Films YouTube channel at 7 p.m. I think it is. So yeah, if you want to check it out and have a watch, I'll be very, very appreciative, and I hope you enjoy it. Really, I sort of put a lot of effort into that one. So it's been a lot of hard work and time, really. But I'm really happy with the finished outcome, and I just hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, I've watched it, and I must admit that, you know, there's lots of sort of sorrow and tears behind the eyes. They're really sad news. But there we go. We must move on, and that's what we've got to do. Thanks very much, guys. We're coming to the end of the season almost now, aren't we? So we're on the rundown to the last couple of weeks. So what are you going to do in the summer, John?
Pitch work. Again, yeah, more pitch work. No, we just got to, because of the different things that have happened and cups and bits and pieces going on, there's nobody's managed to get their pitches done, even though we had all that spare time. The weather wasn't right, so I think it's going to be a mad rush in June for everybody to get pitches sorted and ready for the pre-season friendlies in July.
Right. And you, Cam?
Easy, Dave. I'll be job hunting and house hunting. So if you see me rolling around homeless on the street somewhere, then you know where I've been. But
I tell you what, you've got a far harder challenge than pitch work doing that, mate.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen some of the pictures in Cornwall? Like JC has to look after. Like, I don't know. If it's anything worse than like Belife at the moment, I know they've obviously burnt it off. I don't know how many other pictures are going to be doing that. But no, I'd rather be house hunting than JC's job. Like, fair play to you. Fair play to you, mate. I wouldn't want to do that.
I have got a spare fork, Cam, if you are short of gas.
£5 an hour, mate. I'll be there.
No problem.
Right. Well, I'll leave you two to barter arrangements and contracts, and I'm going to talk to Rappo.
Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.
One thing Cam and I didn't talk about, Rappo, was the outcome of the quarterfinal last week in the County Youth Cup Rathbone Trophy that we mentioned in the build-up last week. Two Truro sides played on Sunday, and despite the home Truro side going 1-0 up at half-time or for half-time, the side that's connected to Truro City Football Club, they ended up winning 6-1.
It's a bad turnaround, Dave, isn't it? Second half, mate.
Was it
windy, mate? Was it windy or
it was just a bit breezy? But I don't think it was the wind that affected the result as such. I think it was a case of Truro needed to score that goal to believe in themselves a bit. And but funny enough, they didn't have any subs. They are so short on players that they had the 11 players. I don't know why the squad is so small at the moment, the injuries and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, they ended up winning 6-1, and a draw was made the day after. So the draw for the Rathbone Trophy semi-finals is Truro City versus Torpoint Athletic and Perranporth against Elgin. So two good games there. Not sure where that Truro game is being staged. So check it out if you're interested in going to watch them. You don't want to go down to Malpas in Truro and then find out that it's at Caliwith or something like that. So anyone who's interested in watching that match, make sure you know where you're going. The under-16s Luke Cup draw was also made for the semi-finals, and Redruth home to Biscovay, or playing Biscovay. I'm assuming it's going to be at Redruth. And Lough Town versus St Agnes. So good that there's four different sides in that competition compared to the other one, isn't it? So
Yeah, it is.
Shows it around a bit.
Good to see, mate.
And also, John, obviously our COVID Cup predictor, there was a game in midweek, wasn't there, that we need to bring everyone up to date with?
Yeah, it was a big one as well, Dick. Mount Gould beat St Dominic 2-1, mate, with a couple of late goals, which sets the group up nicely, Dick, for Saturday, because a game that's going to be played at Bodmin's Priory Park, mate. St Dominic against Mount Gould, mate. The group, as it stands, I mean, Mount Gould, both played four games. Mount Gould on 10 points, Dick, and St Dominic on 7.
So everything's coming to the boil, isn't it, in these competitions now? So,
you know, fair play to the leagues, mate, for getting these cups on, but in hindsight, like Deeks, they might have wished they never bought. And going back to Candies, good to see Tyler and Tomo sign their contracts, wasn't it, mate? Two of my favourite City players, mate. I think Niall, mate, I don't know about you, Deeks, but I reckon he's played about six positions, don't you, mate, in his in his 5 years at City, mate. So versatile, mate, isn't he? And does, you know, he does a great job wherever he plays, doesn't he? And obviously, Tyler's goals goes without saying, mate. So, look forward to Cam's farewell to Trieu Road tonight as well, Deeks, at 7.
I
must admit, mate, I had a little tear in my eye, mate, just from that three-minute snippet, mate, we saw the other week. So, all right, I'm going to have to get a box of Kleenex steak for this one, mate. Yeah. 15 minutes.
It's a bit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, look forward to that one. Well done, Cam, for that, mate.
Yeah, well done. That's on, we better mention it, it's on Pirin Films, isn't it? It's being premiered on Pirin Films. Right.
Yeah.
Let's,
good on, Mark.
Let's move on to our South West Peninsula League contact. Well, one man that would be probably quite happy that they didn't bother with an end-of-season competition is the League Secretary, Phil Hiscox. And I'm assuming it's also been a fairly quiet week for him.
Yes. Yeah, it's certainly a quiet week. The only thing I'd say is it's been a week of lots of inquiries, lots of people fishing.
Oh, right.
And in some ways, I'm fishing as well, because the FA have been very careful not to sort of release too much. It's been an odd week.
So basically, you are now awaiting news about the constitution of the two divisions, and that could be any time next week, I gather, from Monday
onwards. Yeah, the FA have announced week commencing Monday the 17th, and I must stress that there's no guarantee it's going to be published at sort of 9 o'clock on Monday morning. we might be waiting till 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Oh, no.
I hope not, but what I'm saying is that, you know, that they've made it perfectly clear it is week commencing.
Yeah.
So they've given themselves that extra bit of room if they're still arguing, if they're still deciding, that sort of thing.
Right. Because I suppose you're holding fire on sort of cracking on with fixtures and such things, I suppose, for you.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm fairly sure of who's going up. I'm fairly sure of some that are joining us, but I'm not 100% sure that the FA may not come up with a surprise, late on. The clubs that are due to currently miss out, some of them have made representations, and as we've discussed before, that all the league could do was rank clubs in a certain order based on a certain criteria. If the FA may wish to fill the vacancies on the next best ones, and therefore we might have clubs that we haven't necessarily recommended. And of course, there is also the possibility, although I'm not expecting it, but you know, we still got to have the possibility that the FA might have extra clubs elsewhere in the country that have met the criteria, and they want to sort of push other clubs from other leagues into our league to accommodate all those.
So it could be. Could be a scenario that the Peninsula League might get or could get someone from the Western League Division 1, then?
But it's possible. I'm not expecting say that, but it is possible, particularly as we don't know what we do. All we know about the Western League First Division and the West Sixth League and the Fenwick League is the list of clubs that have applied to join it from Step 7 and from Step 6 going upwards. What we don't know is their list of recommendations. Let's say the Western League First Division has two vacancies for new clubs, but has three clubs that meet all the criteria that are in criteria one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is an argument there that says, you take all three and somebody has to shuffle. In the same way as, I suppose, if all of the 10 that applied to us were all in criteria one, there would be a stronger case for taking more of them.
Mm. Right. Well, it's interesting stuff, isn't it? And, I guess it'll be like Christmas. You'll be up early on Monday, won't you?
No. I know the way the FA work.
I'll be around about tea time if it is on
Tea time on Friday, I reckon.
You ought to have a sweepstake on when the announcement might, or when you might receive it. Okay. Right, well, in the meantime, then, you're there twiddling your thumbs and fingers. Is there anything else happening?
Not really. We're doing a lot of the sort of prep work. I have had, and I suppose this is one thing we touched on last week, but I've finally had a reply from the FA Digital Department about their beta version of player registration software. And I did have to email all the club secretaries, so hopefully that message has gone out to the managers. But if not, then this is another opportunity to say. The FA aren't looking for the new system to go live until very, very late in June or the 1st of July. Now, in some ways, that's a bad thing because obviously clubs and players can't start sticking their player registrations on the 1st of June. So that's not ideal. But I suppose the sort of silver lining of it is, if it's the 1st of July, then one argument that goes that a player who says he'll join a club on the 5th of June and then gets a better offer on the 20th of June won't actually have been registered to start with. Because obviously from the 1st of July, a player then duly registered and accepted, that club is then entitled to 7 days' notice.
Yeah, has to be a sort of transfer process, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whereas every year we've had the odd club and player that commit to and fill in a registration form very, very early in June. And then by the end of the month, their mates have gone somewhere else and they've changed their mind. And you get sort of, have they sent the form in? I told them not to send the form in. Do you rip it up? Is it another transfer? Yeah. Whereas from the 1st of July, you don't have to worry about that as much.
Right. It's the official process, right, okay.
Yeah,
I mean, at this moment in time, is there much sort of player movement still sort of going on as far as you're aware?
I'm absolutely sure that the same thing that happens every year, which is that managers are trying to strengthen their team, tapping up players, whether legally or illegally. Officially, they shouldn't do it until midnight on the 31st of May, but it's been going on in memorial, isn't it? So I shouldn't think it'd be any different this year. So I'm sure it's going on. But of course, they're not able to actually register them. All they're getting, I suppose, really is a commitment from that player. And I suppose the one thing that will change, in the past you had to go and get a player's signature on a paper form, and that was the be-all and end-all proof as to whether a player wanted to join. Now with the digital setup, what's going to happen is the club will need to provide the player's email address and fan number if they've got it. So that's an interesting thing for managers. Get the player's email address and fan number if you possibly can.
Fan standing for what?
Football Association number.
Right. Okay.
It's a number. Anybody can have a fan number if you're buy England tickets and things, but it's another way of the FA.
I've probably got one of those, haven't I?
You've probably got one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a number allocated through the FA software to individuals.
Right.
And it's a unique sort of reference number. So I suppose if you've got the fan number, it's the same as like having a postcode or something, right, or date of birth. It's another way of them tracing who you are.
Right.
So if they've got that information, then that makes it easier to register them online. And then what replaces the signature under the new software is when, let's give an example, dear old Tracy at St. Austell registers a player. She completes the information required, presses submit. Two emails then go. One goes to the league that they want that player to register for, so me and maybe the St. Piran League or any other leagues that club wants to register for. But also an email goes to the player because his email address has been provided, and he can then do a one-click verification that he has acknowledged that he is being registered for St. Austell.
Right.
And that replaces the signature.
Right. I was going to ask you if there's room for shenanigans going on with this, but obviously, you know, the personal email address will be the... the key thing, well, isn't it?
So, as long as it is a personal email address, I'm going to shut up now.
Well, what's the better, you know, it's an old email address that hasn't been used for 10 years or something like that.
Well, I mean, the one thing that would worry me is, what if you can set up an email address for that person? But I suppose... I always say that when people sort of say, oh, Fred Bloggs didn't sign for that club, my first answer is, but did he turn up and play for them? Well, yes. Well, actually, that's a commitment that he wanted to play for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only ones you occasionally get is ones where a player says he hasn't signed and... or hasn't agreed for the form to be sent in. And then you have to look and see whether he's actually played. Because if he hasn't played, then there might be an element of truth in it.
So moving forward, then, the clubs basically will have to make sure they tell the or hoped new player to check his emails.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And the FA say, if it all works... correctly, even like on a Saturday morning, you could have a situation where, I don't know, on the coach from Penzance to Callington, the secretary or the manager fills in online on his phone all the player's details. That pings an email to the player. He then verifies on his phone that, yes, he wants to register for Penzance. And then that pings through to me that club and player want to be registered. And I could verify it on my phone. Although, as I did say to the goat from the FA, who probably thinks I'm a pint half empty person, I don't think that's quite going to work at Porth Leven, where you won't get a mobile signal till you get back to Truro.
So if there's a kick-off at 3 o'clock, what's the latest... player could be signed on then?
That's an interesting one, because the standardised rules that we currently operate on, it's 4 hours before kickoff at the moment.
Ooh.
It'll be interesting to see whether that is varied at all.
4 hours, right, okay.
Yeah, so normally on a Saturday morning, if 3 o'clock kickoffs, I know that I can leave home at 11 a.m. And
you don't need to check out.
Yeah, technically, anybody who's going to be registered should have been registered.
Because the team sheet has to be, what is it, half an hour before the kickoff?
45 minutes before on a Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. 30 minutes if it's a midweek or a bank holiday. That can be different.
Bank holiday, right. I like that. Right.
Oh, well, you think like Boxing Day morning.
Yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, something like that, Easter.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
right.
Because, again, kick-off times, I suppose what we're saying is bank holidays and evenings are not necessarily 3 o'clock kick-offs.
No, that's true. Yeah. Righty-ho. Any feedback on your mention last week about the possible benevolent, you know, game, pre-season games? You've had something back, have you?
I've had from one, I won't name him because would be unfair, but I've had a Cornish Peninsula League manager of a certain repute say to me that he thinks it's a good idea, but his worry would be whether the manager of that team, if he was currently involved with a club, whether he would use that in pre-season as an opportunity to tap up players.
Yes. Yeah.
And there was a suggestion that perhaps if there's somebody around who isn't currently connected, maybe a former manager or a coach or somebody who has a sort of management background but isn't tied up at the moment, whether they would be interested in the position.
Yeah. That would be a better idea, or a fairer idea, wouldn't it?
If that does jog somebody to thinking, oh, that might suit me, or I know somebody that might suit, that would be a useful one, because it is a concern that I would accept, that particularly playing it pretty would be an ideal opportunity to get round the 7-day notice rule.
Yeah, and I've heard that suggested, you know, many occasions in the old days when club managers were managers of, you know, representative 11. So one assumes it does go on. So
I'm sure it does. So that would, you know, if there is somebody out there, a former manager, the same manager who spoke to me mentioned another name of somebody who he thought would be there, but I wouldn't want to say who that was, because that'd be unfair on that person. That person may not be, but there must be people out there who feel, well, it's something that, as a one-off, I could do, or you know, it's not the commitment of running a club every week, is it?
No, that's right. It'd be quite nice for them, wouldn't it? Just as a one-off. So
So that's, you know, if I had somebody of that ilk, it would certainly push the idea along a bit further.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, I think that's pretty much it. We're all waiting with bated breath for Monday to arrive.
A week commencing Monday.
Okay, right. So this time next week, I could still be saying the same. Is what you're saying?
Well, I hope not. For our listeners, I have arranged a board meeting for next week, and I've arranged it for Thursday, on the basis that surely by Thursday we'll know, because there are other things to fit in, you know, the constitution, but even things like the Whatsey Parsons Cup draw. We need to know, is it sort of 40 teams? Is it 39? Is it 38? Whatever, because again, you can't get on to a cup draw until you know who's in it.
And it's the knock-on effect throughout the football system, isn't it? It's not just the Peninsula that are waiting on this, it's all the leagues below you as well, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, certainly the Devon League, or the equivalent of the St Piran League in Devon League, well, there are clubs there in that league who've made representations to the FA about, you know, should they still want to be included. And on the one hand, you don't want to stop the ambition of those clubs if they can persuade the FA, but on the other hand, you're absolutely right, there's a knock-on effect on how that league fills its spaces particularly.
Right, okay, well, let's hope the FA move it on swiftly, and we'll be talking next week.
Look forward to it.
Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.
Phil, they're obviously having a bit of a rest, I think, before the FA wake up and announce things next week, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's all up in the air for Phil at the minute, Deeks, isn't it? You know, he's having a breeze, a calm before the storm, mate, isn't it? Calm before the storm. But I guess the South West Peninsula League West would be slightly easier for him fixture-wise next season, Deeks, wouldn't it? If he's going from, you know, a 20-team league to 18, maybe, if the three go up and you just get Penryn up, and then obviously Elson Saltash and Mosel might go up. I mean, would it be an 18-team league, or would Phil, you know, invite Tor Point across from the east, mate, to make it to 19-team divisions? And is his hand tied by the FA, Diggs, are they? Or?
No, well, it's probably see what the FA say first, isn't it? And I think that's probably why Phil mentioned that there's a board meeting next Thursday. That might be the sort of things they'll discuss if they have to, about, you know, equaling up the numbers in each league and that sort of thing. But it may be Tor Point don't want to play in the West.
True, mate. Yeah, they might enjoy it in the East now, mate, mightn't they?
That's right.
They had a good season, didn't they, in there? So
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want that familiarity, mate, do you? You know, it's probably nice to go and play these different teams that they've been playing in the East Division, maybe, Deeks, isn't it? Might not want to come back, to be fair.
And the
Millbrook's gone up as well.
Yeah, that's right. And the representative 11, managers that are no longer managing, that might do it as a one-off. We've just been through the league, the teams in the league, or in the West Division, haven't we? It's not that easy to think of someone, is it? I mean, the obvious one is Glenn Hooper.
Yeah, you'd have to say Hoops, right, wouldn't you, with his football. It's odd, mate, isn't it? Because would they want to do it, you know, anyway? And then, you know, I would have thought they would, wouldn't you? It's a nice, you know, sort of honour to do, isn't it, mate? It's one-off game and for a good cause and that, you know, like Phil said. But, I think Hoops is probably, you know, we were thinking like Knighter at St Austell, Deeks, weren't we? And Macca at Newquay, you know, stepped down recently, but... But it's hard to think who's got that sort of knowledge, mate, innit, to to pick a sort of team and, you know, justify. But yeah, Oops is obviously, you know, he'd be a perfect choice, really, mate, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I would have thought so.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll have to wait and see what the general opinion is on that suggestion, anyway, of having a West Division squad against the East Division squad. Sounds a good idea to me. So let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope they do something on that on that base. So so that's Phil Hiscox. Yeah. Right. So it's two interviews now with two managers. We speak to Matt Hayden. In fact, we spoke to him ahead of the news of his appointment as manager at Callington Town. I thought for a moment he had me on a wind-up, that I'd interviewed him as manager at Callington, and then he was going to tell me that it wasn't actually true. But it is true. But before Matt, we've got on Newquay's new number one, it's Craig Ainslie, who actually took over at Mount Wise from Tony McKellar back in March. Let's firstly, though, find out a little bit more about the man himself.
Okay, yeah, so I'm actually originally from Sheffield. I joined the RAF straight from leaving school. And RAF St Morgan, just outside Newquay there, was my first posting. So my first kind of step into Cornish football was between 2004-2006. Played for Godolphin, for Derek Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that time made some brief appearances for Bodmin Town Reserves, as they were at the time, Porthleven, and RNAS Caldrose. So I had a little bit of a mixed bag of kind of playing experience in that time. I moved away with the RAF between 2006-2015. Played in Norfolk and Lincolnshire, played for the RAF under-23s on first 11 in that time, and then moved back to Newquay permanently in 2015. So came back and linked straight back up with Godolphin, I think the 2015-16 season, played for Jamie Lowry. And then moved over to Newquay the following year to play for Tony McKellar. So 16-17 through to 18-19, played over there with Macca. I had last season, so the 19-20 season as it was, away working, just due to work with the RAF. And then managed to get myself a new job at the tail end of last year that has given me the capacity to take on the role I've taken on at Newquay this year, mate.
Right, okay. That's a very well done for that. I'm impressed with that resume you gave us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a whistle stop, but a mixed bag for sure.
Yeah. So you're over at Mount Wise now, your manager. You haven't actually had a game to manage yet, though, have you?
No, and we've had options. I know quite a few clubs that, you know, around the county have been playing some fixtures. You know, it's a point for us. This year is to get some consistency together for the group of players we've got, and part and parcel of that is making sure that they're physically fit and conditioned, ready for a good pre-season. So we've staved off, you know, having fixtures for the sake of having fixtures. Mm. We've had a few invitations and we've stayed away from it. Pre-season for us, the programme that I've put together, we're going to be reviewing that on the 1st of June. The rest of the first team staff and I and the director of football, Martin Bonella, for the club there, we'll have a look at what I've put together. And that'll give me a week and a half or so just to iron out any creases before we look to officially start pre-season on the 12th of June. Fixtures-wise, you know, we'll look to start playing games from the end of June, hopefully. That's what I've asked the secretary to put together for us. And as I'm sure lots of people will be aware, we've got some really exciting fixtures as we go into July as well. A great chance for the players to test themselves and a great opportunity for me and Sean Middleton, my assistant, to assess the progress we're making at that point in pre-season.
Yeah, you say to assess the progress you're making, but things haven't been that bad at Newquay over the last couple of seasons, have they? I mean, I know this season was curtailed. You were eighth when that happened. Newquay were sixth the season before. You've only got to tweak it, though, haven't you, slightly? I'm assuming you're not going to be looking to make wholesale changes.
Absolutely not. I think Tony McKellar, a good friend of mine and obviously predecessor, deserves a phenomenal amount of credit for the quality of the squad he's managed to put together up at the club over the last few years. You know, you only have to go back to that 15-16 season, I think it was, that, you know, Newquay finished second bottom, you know, really tough first season up there for Tony. And you're quite right, you know, to go from that to eighth and sixth, you know, respectively in these kind of two curtailed seasons we've had is a phenomenal achievement, and exactly right. We don't need to make wholesale changes. I've said that to the squad. I've said that to the players. I think we've got a phenomenally talented group, and it really is just a matter of consistency as to whether we can compete, you know, sustainably throughout the whole season rather than in drips and drabs. You know, we've seen the team compete well in the VARs in the last few years. We've seen the team compete with the better teams. Some of the teams who are going to be promoted to the Western League this season have struggled against Newquay in the last couple of seasons. So there's no reason to say we can't compete at the top end of the league and progress from that eighth and sixth into the top four potentially. But we'll only do that with consistency, and that's the real focus for us in pre-season, mate.
Is there also a slight question towards commitment as well? Because I know Tony was always a little bit frustrated that one week, you know, everyone would be available, and then the next week you'd have five or six players out.
Yeah, that's right, mate. I think that there's a couple of, you know, significant factors that would contribute to that. I think that the first one is injury prevention. I think historically we've struggled with players getting injured, and at that point we tried to do something about it. So we're trying to be a lot more proactive with that. I mean, in the last couple of months we've spent a bit of time with the club physio, Ross McConey, assessing the players. They're in with sessions with him already. We're looking at what we can do in terms of warm-ups and warm-downs to be a lot more progressive with our attitude to injury prevention as well, mate. So that's one contributing factor. And of course, you know, you'll always fight the battle of, you know, a lot of the lads have got work, haven't they? So we just need to make sure we've got enough squad depth and quality in there. We've got some fantastically talented young lads from Truro City under-18s, part of the squad at the minute. And that will give us some extra capacity that will hopefully see us through, you know, what is a long and tough old season, especially through the winter months.
Would you call yourself more a coach than a manager or not?
No, I think I'm probably a blend of both. I think I enjoy the coaching. I don't mind the managing aspect. You know, that's the kind of background I come from with work. So I'm happy, you know, liaising with the committee, liaising with the director of football. The administrative side of, you know, being a manager is absolutely fine with me. I know some coaches really don't like it. They'd like to just be out on the pitch with the lads. And I get that. But for me, it's a blend of the two. I really enjoy the coaching. I enjoy working with the lads. I've enjoyed putting together a really comprehensive, what I think is a comprehensive program for the pre-season that will contribute to the consistency on the pitch as well. So, like I said, the injury prevention and keeping players available is one aspect. I think the other aspect of the consistency is a settled playing style with a settled system. And that's something I'm looking forward to getting out on the pitch and working with the fellas with over pre-season and as we head into the season, mate. Yeah, so I think a bit of both to answer your question, yeah.
Mm. It's all sounding quite a professional sort of setup there now, and things have really happened off the pitch, haven't they? I mean, you mentioned the director of football, but also we've seen that, you know, little things, even like the grandstand being painted, and, you know, Newquay's changing, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, the club and the whole committee have put in an exceptional amount of effort, mate. You know, it goes without saying that, you know, whether it's equipment, infrastructure, like you've mentioned, investment in the pitch, you know, bringing in the VO camera system so we can get in some performance analysis as well, all absolutely outstanding and really significant contributing factors to me, you know, considering taking on the role in the first place. You know, I'm as keen as everyone to get up there and enjoy a pint in the newly refurbished clubhouse when we can. So yeah, I mean, they deserve a phenomenal amount of credit, mate. Like you say, it's at this level, it's all volunteer led. They're giving up huge amounts of their time, and where we can, you know, the first team squad players and coaching staff. We're trying to help them as much as we can as well, because we see the great effort they're making.
And final question, what about the ambition, your aspirations, especially when we're now seeing, well, at least, you know, three Cornish clubs moving up into the Western League? There may be four, that's to be confirmed yet, but where does Newquay fit into that?
My ambition would be to see Newquay play in the Western League, mate. I think you know, it's fantastic to see, like you've just said, you know, clubs making the step up. I think in the bigger picture, you know, we're all hopeful that essentially drags the Western League further southwest. And you know, with that, the the move to that league becomes a lot more viable for clubs in Cornwall, you know, both financially and logistically, because I think that's always been something that perhaps has put not just clubs off, but players. And like we said before, you know, when you've got to work all day on a Tuesday, you know, a long shift, and then get in your car and drive up to Bristol for a game and then drive back afterwards and back to work on the Wednesday morning, it's a big ask. So I think, if you know, unfortunately, the first ones through the wall get a bloody nose, as the saying goes. And, you know, Helston and whoever else, and Salt Ash and potentially Mousehole, we're hearing, if they go up, you know, and then over the coming years, we'll see that gradually move. And we would love to be part of that. I think the squad of players we've got is absolutely capable of playing at that level. I think we've got a fantastic vision for the club that is built around a sustainable model of, you know, using local players, using the fantastic youth system we've got here in Newquay, some of the players coming through to make that kind of that move to Western League football a lot more achievable, a lot more sustainable for the club in the long term, hopefully.
Right. And you mentioned friendlies just now. I know that two that have been mentioned, Cribbs on the 24th of July and they're in the Western League, and Nuneaton Borough the week after. Are those definite games lined up?
Yeah, so those two are fully confirmed. We've also got Barnstaple Town confirmed as well. So they'll be coming down to Newquay to play at Mount Wise. And we've got one other just pending confirmation, so that'll be announced hopefully in the next week or so, I would hope. And then, like I say, one or two kind of more low-key, kind of local fixtures, you know, towards the end of June and start of July. So that'll be the plan for us as it stands. Whether we add another one or two in there, you know, we're going to stand by for the league fixture list coming out and see what that looks like and when it looks like it's starting before we commit to adding too much more to the programme, I think.
It's always very difficult to know what sort of friendlies to have, isn't it? You know, do you play really good opposition whereby the players, well, whereby you're unlikely to win sort of thing, or do you play opposition where basically you're going to get your confidence up and stuff them?
Yeah, so I think for me, I was very specific with the secretary, Steve Rich, who's been fantastic, you know, putting in loads of hours chasing up teams for me. I was quite specific. I said, you know, towards the start of, you know, the pre-season fixtures, we'd like a kind of more low-key local lead-in. Obviously, the boys are going to come back. Be the first time they've played minutes, you know, in a competitive game for a good while. So we want to ease into it. And then we would like to go through the gears. You know, we would like to then start playing some teams who, you know, potentially similar standard to us, maybe from the SWPL East, maybe, get some teams over if that's possible. And then we welcome the opportunity to play higher league teams like Cribbs and Nuneaton for sure. And there'll be challenges with those games, like you say. You know, the likelihood of us winning those games is less, but every opportunity for us to assess other things. You know, metrics of success aren't just in results, especially in pre-season. We can assess how players have developed physically. We can assess their tactical application of the system we're trying to play and things like that. So there's lots of potential for that. And equally, you know, we have to look at the off-the-pitch, you know, potential for the club as well. You know, a team like Nuneaton Borough coming down are probably going to bring down a fair few fans, and that's fantastic for the club from a business perspective as well. So we like a blend of fixtures, mate. We're not afraid to test ourselves. And I think the boys welcome that challenge.
Right. Well, great stuff, Craig. Thanks for coming on. It'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, mate. Hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah.
Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.
Ex-club?
Yeah, exactly, Deeks. Yeah, probably my second favourite ever club, Deeks, really, you know, from my time as a player, mate. Newquay, Mount Wise, loved it there, Deeks. And you know, I was really impressed with, you know, what Craig had to say, mate, when you come over as a really, you know, impressive guy, mate, didn't he? Sounds a top bloke, mate. And like you said, mate, I think the club's in good hands, mate. I mean, it's exciting times at Newquay at the minute, Deeks. You know, see all the improvements going on at Mount Wise and off the pitch. And Mac has left a good legacy for Craig to follow on it as well, hasn't he? And Mitzi's still there, you know, Sean Middleton's still there as assistant. Will be good for the continuity. Can see Newquay, Deeks, having a really decent 21-22 season, mate. Can you listen to Craig there?
Yeah,
to be honest, mate.
That's right. Sounds as if the team is in good hands, I think.
Definitely agree with that, mate. Yeah, I was really impressed with that interview, mate. And Nuneaton might be a good pre-season fixture, Deeks. You know what? I watched Torquay draw there, mate. 0-0 about 4 years ago, Deeks. And it's a great setup up there, mate. Big club. like Craig said, mate, I'm sure they'll get a few there. I think there's about 1,100 people there that day, mate, that when I watched that game, and they'll get a few fans down, I'd say, mate, to enjoy a weekend at Newquay and hopefully put a few quid behind the bar as well, mate. So that'd be a good friendly for him, mate, on the 31st of July. But no, best of luck to Craig, mate, at Newquay, you know, and, you know, hope he carries on the resurgence of the Peppermint Steaks.
Yeah. Do we actually know what league Nuneatonborough play in these days?
I don't know. What are they in now, mate? They're not in the north anymore. Ashley North. What's below the... Because I did follow them a little bit, mate, you know, for a little while after I watched that, because they were really nice people up there, mate. I actually got a pair of Nuneaton shorts in the club shop. They're the basket. Because I only bought them because they had number 10 on these, and they were extra large, mate. But, I think I bought a couple of pairs for the boys as well, just for try. They had these old Nuneaton kit, you know, in this basket in the shop. White, mate, white with a blue stripe down the side.
Oh.
Nuneaton Borough. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I spent about 20 quid in the club shop, mate. I like to do me bit for the. But I'll come out with about 4 pairs of shorts and 3 pairs of socks, Deeks, and a t-shirt, I think. So, but I thought it'd be handy for the boys, like training and that, mate. But,
right.
But yeah, good setup up there, though, Deeks. Lovely setup. Rubbish game it was, mate. 0-0 Okay. Terrible it was. I think they've done a bit, mate, over the year. Got a bit of an history, I think, Deeks, haven't they? Yeah. Certainly an attractive pre-season friendly, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's for sure. 31st of July, then, that game is being played at Mount Wise, which seems to be having something done to it every time I notice it on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's something happening at the ground. So.
Brilliant. Great to see, Deeks, isn't it? Great to see. The clubhouse looks lovely, doesn't it? I like the new doors, mate, the new glass doors with the new key... You know, the Newquay badge on them, mate. Newquay crest on the doors. Did you see that one?
Yeah,
looks lovely. Yeah, look forward to having half a shandy out there, mate, on next time. It's always the second result I look out for, Newquay's, Deeks. Got to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll be following then. Good luck, Craig.
Right. Well, last week we had a couple of managers on who had just stood down from the managerial role. This week we finish with one who's just got back into the game. And we mentioned it earlier on Wednesday, to be precise. Matt Hayden was announced as manager, and he tells us a little bit more about it himself. So what news, Matt, have you got to tell the Rapper and Deeks podcast?
Well, I have now been appointed Carrington first team manager. It would have been announced already by the time this goes out, obviously the Friday. So that's the brand new news for everybody to see now.
Hot off the press, as they say. So, and if anyone's wondering why you're sounding slightly out of breath, it's because you're walking a dog at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, I've just walked up a big hill, so...
you got to get some training, then.
Well, this is it. I'm not back in my playing days, where I used to be a little bit fit. Since becoming a manager, it has slowly deteriorated, so...
So, how did it all come about, then, Callington? Because you've been... Well, I think you went to Weybridge, didn't you? And then you've been sort of... I've heard rumours that you were going to be going to another club, and now it's Callington. So, how come?
It's been a bit of a strange one for me. Obviously, my first management job was at Blazy. Everybody knows what happened there. But, I went to Weybridge. Great club, great people. Real aspirations, potential to go and do big things. I went in there with Roa as the number two. I did get a call from another club to say, to come in as like joint manager, do it side by side. But so in the end, I left Weybridge, and then it just didn't really materialise. A couple of things got in the way, a few little speed bumps, but part and parcel of football, I suppose. And now, literally the day after I spoke to them, and it was all completely shut down, and no longer on the table. Carrington chairman phoned me up, Steve, and just said, would you like to come in and be the first team manager. And I think after everything that had gone on, and the fact that it was only 20 minutes from home, on a doorstep, again, it's a club that's got a lot of potential. It's got almost everything there to be a good club. I think it'd be silly, was silly to turn it down, really. So as soon as I got the call and everything was going to be moving forward, I'd check the offer straight away. So
when did this happen then, Matt? Literally, is it over the last couple of days or last week or what?
I spoke to Steve on the Friday, so it would have been a week ago now.
Right.
We had a little chat, put things on the table. He put his cards on the table, I put my cards on the table. And then it literally happened really quickly. We were both happy with the way the conversation went. Aspirations to take into the club, the way the club wanted to be run. So we spoke again on the Sunday. And I took the offer. I didn't want to hold off too much longer. I've been thinking about it all day Saturday and Sunday morning, and I just thought, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. And then obviously it just gives me more time going into pre-season to prepare, because obviously coming into a new role in the start of May, and I usually start my pre-season training maybe start middle of June. I only had limited time to get everything together, meet the players, sort pre-season friendlies out, get staff on board, maybe make improvements to the squad in areas where it will need it. I've been very busy.
You mentioned potential just now, but it's going to be a big challenge, isn't it? Because let's be fair, Callington didn't have the best of seasons, well, this season.
No, I mean, Callington, no disrespect to them and what's the previous managers that have been there, they haven't had the greatest time recently in the last few years. It is going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge that excites me. I went into St. Blaise when it was probably at the absolute rock bottom, and I backed myself and obviously Sean come in as well, and we took that club pushing to the level it is now, and then obviously someone else come in and would take pass the baton over as such. But so I've done it before at a previous club, so I'm confident at Callington I'll be able to do the same. And like I said, it's a job that excites me. It's got a lot of potential, and I'll be looking to take them to their highest league finish next year, hopefully.
And what's your first sort of priority? Is it getting a coaching team alongside you, or is it sorting out the player side?
Well, it was, to be honest, Dave, not a lot had been done. I mean, the James Baker, who was sort of the player manager there last year, he's been so flat out, he's just started a new business. So, and obviously, Blatchy's the chairman. He's had so much to do as well. So not an awful lot had been done in regards to preparing for next year.
Mm.
So when I come in, there wasn't any pre-season games planned and stuff like that. So the last few days, I've literally just filled July with pre-season games, just to make sure we've got something to play in the pre-season schedule. So that was my first priority, to get that done and dusted. And then I've sort of just doing between the both, like you said, with the coaching and the players. I've spoke to a few people in regards to another two, and a coach, a physio, fitness coach. I've spoke to all these kind of people. At the moment, it looks fairly promising that I'm going to have all those roles filled. But we'll have to wait and see on definite names as such. With players as well, I've spoke to a few players. I mean, a lot of them have just finished all these little friendlies that they've been playing now, or little club competitions. So a lot of people are on wind down time now, which obviously I appreciate. I've just been putting feelers out, really, just to see who would be interested, ready for the project next year.
Yeah, because it's going to be slightly more difficult getting people interested in joining Callington. No disrespect to Callington, but slightly more difficult getting them to go to Callington than it would have been St. Blaise, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, St. Blaise has got a massive history. The pitch is obviously one of the best around in the Southwest, let alone in our division. So yeah, I mean, it might be difficult. I mean, I've got a few players that have said, wherever you go, I want to be with you because I appreciate the way you work and the way you want to play. So that's really flattering for me.
That's not the same ones that said the same to Sean, is it?
No, Sean's gone to Marjohns and he's kept all the boys there. And I've always said to Sean, I said, I wish him all the best with and all the boys there. I wish them all the best there, and I hope it really does work out for them. But yeah, like I said, I've spoke to people, I've put feelers out, just see, and it is going to be difficult because obviously Gareth is not probably is not one of the biggest clubs in that league. But they have got things there to make it a great club. It just needed someone to come in and just grab it by the horns, really, and just nail down and get a job done. So that's exactly what I'll be looking at doing. And to be fair, it helps massively the fact it's only 20 minutes down the road from Plymouth. And obviously, with me being a Plymouth lad, most people I know are going to be from Plymouth. But so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. Like I said, it's a project that excites me, and I'm looking forward to get started properly.
Good. Okay, well, it's good to hear you're going to be back involved, Matt. When does training start, then?
I'm looking to be starting again in June. We did the same last year. I'm a firm believer with pre-season. I don't just want to train for 2 months. I'll get the boys a little bit of a head start fitness-wise and throughout June. And then July, I'll just fill either if it'll be one game a week or two games a week and just fill that just to get the match fitness, match sharpness up and then ready for the start of the season.
I get the feeling you left St. Blasey with sort of unfinished business. So does that make you even more determined to, you know, make sure you do something at Callington?
Well, to be honest, Dave, I've only just turned 30, so...
Oh, young boy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, my playing career got cut short, unfortunately, with a number of injuries. But, yeah, definitely unfinished business. Obviously, leaving the job like we did and what me and Sean put together there, we were aiming to go all the way, really. But, like I said, that got cut short. And I'll be looking at doing exactly the same thing with Carrington. Like you said, maybe they're maybe not as reputable or as big a club as Blasey in that division. But it's definitely something that I want to push Carrington to be at that point now, to get to those sort of levels and compete with the big boys of the league.
Mm. Okay, well, thanks for coming on, Matt. When you say doing the same things at Carrington as St. Blasey, make sure it's not the same things off the pitch, perhaps. But before anyone comments on that,
it's definitely one of them things we definitely learned our lesson and served our punishment for it. So yeah. There'll be none of those antics going on. Sure.
Right. Well, okay. It's great to have you back on the podcast, Matt. And well, we'll be keeping tabs with you.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. I'm glad to be back on and under good news and good circumstances as well. So, yeah, look forward to chatting throughout the season and hopefully it'll be good times this year.
You're listening to the Cornish Soccer Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix.
The more I thought about it, Deeks, I thought it's a nice move for Matt, isn't it, mate? You know, close to home, like you said, at a club that sort of needs a new broom, if you like. A chance for him to put his own stamp on it, and as you said, Deeks, a big challenge, but one I think with no real pressure as such. I mean, he's got you know, with all due respect, mate, he's got no horn acts to follow, has he? You know, so I think Matt can come out of this a winner if he does anything at all, or finishing bottom of the league, to be honest, mate. To be honest, Deeks, you know, I think is a win-win situation for him, mate. And I thought Matt and Sean did an excellent job at Blasey, mate. You know, obviously just down the road from me, mate. So, you know, sort of kept me eye on that. And I thought they did a brilliant job. And so I think, you know, anything near that, mate, will be a great success, I reckon, mate. And nice setup at Callington these days, Deeks, isn't it? You know, good luck to Matt. And hope he gets everyone, you know, that he wants on his wish list. Gets everyone in and, you know, can do another good job following on his great work he did at Blasey, mate.
Yeah. No. How many players might shift across from Marjohns, do we think?
Quite a lot, mate. I reckon, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know.
It's going to be interesting to see how many players do move again. And and this is...
You think Sean and Matt will team up again, mate?
You have to wonder that, whether that might happen or not. But
they were a good double act, mate, weren't they? And Callington, to be fair, Dukes, Callington is, you know, it's an attractive little club, really, mate, isn't it? I mean, you know, not saying Marjohns, like, are not, but, I mean, yeah, that's right. I just think is a really good job for, you know, a manager to come into, mate. It's a good opportunity to turn things around, isn't it? A club that probably needs turning around, isn't it, really?
And Matt said that he would obviously like to get Callington to their highest finish in the Peninsula Premier. 11th so far is their best finish.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him, mate. I wouldn't bet against that, to be honest.
Finishing the top half, and he would have done it.
Yeah, crikey, hell of a job done that'd be. Yeah.
Well, we won't see it. I mean, obviously, I think Matt does also need some personal training himself, because he sounded a little bit out of breath there at the beginning of the interview from walking his dog. I don't know how steep the hill was, do you?
Sounded a steep one, Deeks, didn't it?
It did. Right, yeah. On
not,
the watch.
I'm not saying nothing, mate. I get out of breath 10 holes of golf, I do, Deeks.
10, so you don't bother with the final 8, then?
No, I've got my little routine at Lanhydrock, Deeks. I do the first 4, mate. Then I cut 3 out. I do the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, cut another load out, and then 17th, 18th, mate. About 2 hours.
That's enough. You're not getting in the way of people.
No, I'm all right, mate. I'm respectful, I am, because I'm a sneaker inner, mate. I am. I'm a sneaker
inner. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's our interviews for this week. I mentioned Andrew Bragg earlier on. He should have been on this week, but... unfortunately, he lost his voice a little, apparently, so we're hoping that he's going to be talking to me on Monday so that we can get a feel of the Curnow FA's trip to play Cascadia AFF in, well, North London, I think it is, isn't it? Week on Saturday, so...
Tanner a ticket, mate. Tanner a ticket,
yeah, that's right. They had a friendly against Camelford, didn't they, Wednesday evening?
Yeah, great win that was, Deeks, wasn't it? So, you know, because, you know, against like any team that Reg puts out, mate, they're going to be well organised, aren't they? And, you know, they're going to be hard to break down and to get, was it 7-1, wasn't it, Deeks, in the end?
Yeah, that's right, I think it was.
Yeah.
Quite a useful looking squad, I thought, the Curnow.
It was, wasn't it?
Some useful players. Yeah.
Good on paper, Deeks, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it will be on the pitch as well, yeah. Crikey.
So it's interesting to see what sort of squad they've got travelling to play Cascadia. I don't know what part of the world Cascadia originate from, but we will know more from Andrew Bragg, hopefully next week.
Yeah, get well soon, Braggy. Take that Benelin.
Right. Right, okay, so that's it then, Rappo. We're almost out of time. Just time left for me to ask, all be well, you're going to be at St. Morgan Saturday, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, Deeks. I think so. Maybe be a good one. I watched Penryn play St. Morgan last season. It's hard to know the season's name, ain't it? Yeah. But yeah, I think not the one just gone, the pre-season before. And it was hell of a friendly, Deeks. They drew 4-4. Actually, Jack had a hat-trick, actually, mate. It was a really, really good night. Hell of a game. St. Morgan, well, to be fair, mate, he was usurped, because Craig Allen scored all 4.
There you go.
Yeah, for St. Morgan in the first half, Deeks. It was 4-0 at half-time to St. Morgan. And it was a game of 2 halves, Deeks. I can only describe it as. But Penryn, you know, brilliant second half. And, ended up being a 4-4 draw. So if it's anything like that game, Deeks, it'll be a cracker, mate.
Right, okay. Well, whilst you're making that trip to St. Morgan, how much petrol do I need to put in the car to get to Luggan?
Not a lot, mate. None, I would have thought, mate. You could free wheel.
Fumes.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining about the draw. So.
No, no, you're not, mate. Yeah.
No. So, being well, I should be at Luggan versus Bude. Be interesting to see what Bude are like, obviously.
Yeah.
Ended up playing golf, actually, with one of the Luggan players last week, Matty Roberts.
All right, mate, good golfer, is he,
scored,
mate?
I think he scored against Port Leven. I think he scored. There's a bit of a snarl up. I think it's because there's people sneaking in the course somewhere along the way. So
who would do that?
I know. But
who would cut people up like that?
Yeah. Right. That's it then. We're out of time.
Well, on Deets. Good to speak to you as always, mate.
Yeah.
Episode 111, mate.
Oh, 111. So
111. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good to know. We are coming to the end of this series, which will probably finish...
How many we got left, Deeks?
Well,
how many we got left?
It will probably finish when the COVID cups have, wrapped up.
Yeah.
So,
A few weeks.
Probably the first week in June, we'll get through to them.
Yeah.
So...
Sounds good, mate.
Yeah. See if we can come up with some slightly quirky awards for the last program. If anyone can think of any, let me know. I won't embarrass Rapper by asking him how people could get hold of us. It's Rapper is at Mark Rapsey. Mark Rapsey 1?
Yeah, that's
Mark
the
Rapsey
one.
10?
Yeah, I wish it was, mate, when Rach done it.
Sorry, Rach. It is at MarkRapsey1.
That's what you get, mate, when you don't do it yourself, isn't it?
She'll probably tell you to do it yourself next time. And,
probably.
And for the podcast, it's at SoccerPodcast. You can email me at davedeacon@cornishsoccer.info. And obviously... you can always get hold of us through the forum and loads of ways, isn't it? No excuse why people can't get in touch with us to tell us what sort of awards they can think of. Slightly different awards, because it's no point having a player of the season because we haven't really had a season. So we'll try
bit
and think
of, fun,
of something.
Dave,
bit of fun, that's right.
Bit of fun. Yeah, okay. Let's have a bit of fun.
So on that note, it's goodbye.
Yeah, take care, everyone. Stay safe, stay alert. And enjoy the game at the weekend, Deeks. Yeah. And hopefully see a few goals, mate, this time.
And drive carefully, anyone who's making those long trips in the St. Piran League Cup.
That's right, mate, yeah.
They should be at home, but they're away because of... It was in the rules, though, Rapper. It was in the rules.
It was, mate. Yeah, we can't... Rules are rules, Deeks, aren't they?
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Your Cornish Soccer Podcast.